Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, please don't forget to show us your support by smashing that like and that subscribe. Help us get into the algorithm. So appreciative of everybody who joined us for today's live.
I know
Destiny,
you guys
has like a cult following.
Yeah, I know you guys are waiting, especially the Destiny fans on the chat. He's going to be here. What? Your mic a little bit closer. Sorry. He is in traffic, Miami. If you're not in Miami, it rained really, really bad today, and there's accidents all over the place because people cannot drive in Miami. So he's going to be about 15 minutes late. He should be here anytime soon. In the meantime, we appreciate everyone who's here. This is something new for us. We usually have people pretty much on the right-leaning side of things, more conservatives, more Republicans.
We do a lot of political commentary.
Yeah, we do.
That the manosphere is just something that's kind of like fallen into our laps, I guess, through the YouTube algorithm, of course. Like, the content has been pushed out to us, and we have really strong opinions on a lot of these things, and the lines do blend into this political sphere that we've been in for such a long time, where we believe in the conservation of conservative values. But we're also very moderate in the sense where we see a lot of the hypocrisy on our side as well.
Right.
And Linda and I were both so impressed by Destiny's. Yeah,
is her mic working? Somebody is saying that her mic is not working. Mic is off. I see no blue hair. The blue hair liberal is going to be here in 15 minutes, guys. I think her mic is off. You guys tell us. Denim jacket is, mic is off. Yeah.
We're getting that taken care of now, guys. Let me know. Can you hear me now? Let us know in the chat if you can hear me.
Bella, your microwave is uncanny. That's hilarious. 15 minutes, ¿por qué? Because there was an accident and he's stuck in traffic and there was a lot of rain in Miami. There was like a mini tornado today. Denim jacket is not on. We hear you in the black shirt. Your mic is off.
No, can they hear me now? I think they hear me now.
Close to the mic. Speak to it closer.
Closer? I'm usually way too loud for this. Testing.
Where's the blue haired devil? Oh my God. That's okay. Can somebody tell me in the chat why DGG for life is? What is that? Can somebody tell me what that means? Because we've seen it in a couple of comments.
Yeah, they're still hearing us from the other mic, I think. They're hearing me now?
You're good?
Okay, I think everybody hears me now. Well, I hope that you guys didn't miss everything that I said. But anyways, Linda and I have kind of fallen into this fear, and we've been watching a lot of the commentary from Destiny, which is so ironic, right? Which I'm sure that that's part of it. Can't wait to ask him. He's this blue-haired liberal, and somehow these two conservative women agree with so much of what he has to say. Now, clearly our ideology is very different, and I'm sure that we're going to touch on that and find the points where we don't agree. Mm-hmm. But we're really kind of trying to see where it is that we do find a common ground, mostly because we've been on this political sphere for such a long time. We also want to get Destiny's commentary on today's announcement by Ron DeSantis that he will be running for president in 2024 against Donald Trump.
In the meantime, guys, we are sponsored by Sentry H2O. Sentry is a under the water filtration system. For less than $300, you can have clean water. It will filter out every single toxin that we have, especially if you live in Miami. We have horrible water, has lead, fluoride, chloride, all the horrible stuff that makes you gay. I guess some of you guys don't care about that, but we do. And also, it infuses your water with oxygen. What is it? What was the other thing? Calcium, magnesium. She has it. I have it. It's great.
If you use a reverse osmosis system, it actually clears the water of minerals, essential minerals that you need as well. So this pumps that right back into your water. I think everybody cares about healthy water, right? This can't just be a conservative thing. Liberals care about healthy water as well.
Liberals used to care more about pharma and water before they decided to be pro-pharma and flip the switch and just become pro-establishment. So the liberals back in the day, when I used to be a liberal, we were, by the way, Obama supporters, and I voted Clinton. I don't know, Bella, I think you wrote in Bernie Sanders, right?
I did. I voted in Bernie Sanders until the 2016 elections.
Yeah.
Because I felt that Hillary Clinton, that the party had robbed Bernie of that nomination. Right. It wasn't necessarily where I believed with his political ideology, but I saw how dirty the Democratic Party had done the Bernie bros. And it just felt like the right thing to do, because this is what it is that they do with politics, right? Yeah. Usually most people aren't paying attention during primary elections because the media doesn't make a big deal about it. And usually most people are concerned with other things that they have going on in their lives. And it's during these primary elections where both parties, not a Republican or a Democrat thing, both parties will use their uni-party power to push in the two candidates that they want, which is really not really a choice at all. A lot of the time, that's something that can end up being one and the same.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in getting a water filtration system that it's very affordable and hitting completely under your sink, visit Century H2O, and you can use our code MPL10 for a small discount. In the meantime, they say that we have to say Obama. What is Obama? I guess this is part of the Destiny cult.
We got to ask him about all of these things, because this is all new to us. You're all new to us. Welcome to our space.
Welcome to our space. We're not entirely sure. No mods equal free speech. Obama. She said, what is Obama? Can you guys tell me what that means?
I'd like for somebody to clarify what the Obama is.
It was
Obama
more
is.
Obvious and on another level with the Dems and Hillary against it. Thank you, guys. Not a cult. You guys are a cult. This is for sure a cult.
Destiny's followers?
Yeah,
I'm sure that people would say the same thing about our followers. Yeah. I love that. I love the support. Listen, he owned it. One of the things, so we'll actually go ahead and make the comment before Destiny gets here.
We're going to teach Destiny how to dance salsa. For the ones asking on the chat, if he's up for it, to make things fair.
You know, one of the things that has been really shocking about announcing that we were going to have Destiny on as a guest, and this is definitely for our political party, is that conservatives seem to be really preoccupied with what Destiny does with his personal sex life, which is actually quite ironic when you think about it, because this is the party that says, I don't need to know what it is that you do behind closed doors. And this is the argument that our party normally uses to say that, you know, we don't need to glorify LGBT lifestyles. Meanwhile, they'll hear that we have a guest like Destiny on, who clearly has a different ideology, and somehow the obsession is who he sleeps with, who his wife sleeps with, what they do, what they don't do. I have no interest or care in talking about that today. I think that it's so disrespectful when he goes on to these, I guess they are dating podcasts, but it just seems like people are just way too over involved and curious about very specific details about people's sex life. That to me is just bizarre.
Yeah, I, you know, we had a lot of pushback on my Instagram. Obviously, the majority of my following, if you guys go to Wake Up with Linda, there's majority are right-wing conservatives. And there was a lot of comments about his wife. Who is his wife going to be staying with tonight? And a lot of, I would say, uncomfortable comments over his sex life and his wife and his relationship, which I find inappropriate, to be honest with you, especially for conservatives who want to live and let live, right? That's what they used to be about. I guess not anymore. But it's not of interest to us if he wants to, if him and his wife have an open relationship or not. Literally, I could care less. I just find it very ironic that whenever he goes on these podcasts with the so-called trad conservatives in Manosphere, he's actually the only person who's married to a beautiful girl, a hot girl for that matter. Well, everyone else giving relationship advice, like Pearl, like the guys from Fresh and Fit, like Andrew Tate, like everyone else, is single and or having, you know, basically hoeing around, and they don't actually abide by what they preach. So that has been pretty interesting.
It's like when you really think about it, at least from an outsider, right? Because some of you might have been immersed in this culture for the last several years, and to us is still something that's fairly new that we've bumped into. But what it seems like to me is that Destiny is really the only one living that red pill kind of ideology of, you know, having his wife and being able to go out there. So we're not going to focus the podcast on Destiny's sex life. We were going to wait for him to come on to make a comment. One of the things that has recently, and I've seen some comments on the chat that recently seems to have taken the internet by storm when it comes to Destiny, is this video clip of his wife dancing with salsa dancing with ABBA. And ABBA takes her out and they do a quick dance. And somehow these people, this has lit the internet on fire, where now he's a cuckold, and how can he allow that? And that right. was so disrespectful.
In our culture, it's really weird when so we watch standard. That clip. And on our culture, it's really standard, especially at family parties, that men and women dance with each other, right? In salsa, it's a very sexual, sexy dance. And we've never seen it as like, well, if you're dancing with my boyfriend or my husband or vice versa, then it must be because you're a cuckold. Like that. That's never, really weird.
It's
that's
so
really weird.
Culturally tone deaf.
That's very
to
weird.
Call that anything else than what it was. Like ABBA clearly likes to dance. She has a background in dancing. If you've never salsa danced, then I can kind of tell you that's part of the reason why people get excited when other people know how to dance, because it's not common to find men that know how to salsa dance.
He's here.
He's
can
here.
You look at him, please? He's a blue hair liberal. Okay.
You'll find him. He has blue hair. I want to give a shout out to Adam, our constant follower and supporter. Since we are waiting, here's an awesome night of informative debate. So glad we are being presented by Linda and Bella, except no substitutes. Cult 45. Thank you, Adam, for coming through per usual to support us. We love you. So I'm going to hold off on the rest of the commentary in regards to the salsa dancing, because honestly, that was so fucking weird, dude. Culturally, like, honestly, guys, we can go out to any party and it's totally normal for the one guy that knows how to dance at an entire party to dance with every woman there, whether she's married, not married, young, old, or it doesn't matter. It's just a cultural thing. So to watch the internet.
Hold on, let me call him real quick.
Oh, okay. We're doing a live call with Destiny.
We're doing a live
air.
Call. Hold on. Hey. Hey, how are you? So you know where you valeted? That was you. Okay, so the it's gonna be the building. Like if you're right outside of the hotel, there's like a smaller building. You could see it like right on the side of the hotel. To the left, and you're gonna see that. I think so, because it was like kind of like there's like construction. Did you see the construction and like you couldn't go into the valet? You got her?
Yeah, I got her.
Okay, all right,
perfect.
Cool. All right.
All right, guys, we had a couple of more contributions in the chat. So thank you to Diego. Appreciate not focusing on the boring bullshit arguments. Also being Puerto Rican, we dance with everybody. Every single party, get together, totally normal. Imagine if it would have been like a bachata.
No, oh my God.
No, le da un infarto a la gente. Like, bachata, it's like real sexy and real. Like, salsa's all like, you know, like, damn. Like, it's not even that serious. It's just so culturally tone deaf to watch people freak out about the craziest things. And again, it just seems like it's an attack on Destiny. Isn't it wild that it's usually the very straight conservative men that have all these questions about what Destiny does with his
the
personal
same,
sex life?
The same type of bullshit that they give him and other people,
hi,
they
sir,
give us
welcome.
Hi. Welcome.
Your audience is waiting for you.
You can just come in this way.
Down and take a seat here.
Are you guys live?
Yes.
Yeah, we're live. We just started the sponsors.
Literally like 10 seconds ago.
We were actually in the conversation. Well, we'll let you come on. So you can say
okay,
hello.
We've never met. Hi, I'm Linda. This is Bella.
Hi,
nice
I'm
you.
Isabella. 1 second. Are we going to mic him or...
They're so funny in the comments. It's hilarious. It's a cult, but it's okay. We have a cult too.
We were actually just discussing how the internet has recently gone crazy over your wife dancing with ABBA as if though that was. Yeah. So we were just discussing how we're Latinas.
Yeah.
And how
we have a
we don't get
of,
it because it's you know? Such a cultural normal thing for people to dance and not have there be any kind of like sexual tone to it. And the way that that's just, it's so culturally tone deaf, the way that that's been taken and turned into the biggest deal. But we were also piggybacking off the topic where it seems like when we announced that you were coming on the show, a lot of our conservative following, because we stick predominantly to politics, mm-hmm. seem to be hyper concerned with what was going on in your sex life.
Yeah, a lot of people are really
and have such strong opinions.
Yeah,
and
that's really weird. It seems
so contradictory to us where, you know, we're around these people all day long. And a lot of the times when we have these arguments for specifics, like things that are being taught in school or whatnot, it'll come up about, why do we need to know what's going on in somebody's bedroom? Why does that have to be public? Why do we need to wave flags? You know, that's something that should happen behind closed doors. And then these very people are somehow hyper obsessed with how you behave behind closed doors or what's going on in your personal home. Wait, hold on.
First of all, is his mic off?
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Can you hear me?
What about his the camera? It's on. It's on. Can you put it on
just
him?
Flip it on him.
Yeah. Okay. We just want to make sure that the camera's on him first so he can properly introduce himself for our followers and the people who do not know him. There we go. People are like, where is he? Where's the camera? There he is, guys. He says they said he's looking good. Okay, so hi.
Hi.
So that's kind of what it is that we've found. I mean, do you find that normally?
Let him probably introduce himself first, please.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, sorry.
My name is Steven Bunnell. People online know me as Destiny. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Kick, Rumble. I'm Destiny on all those platforms. So, yeah.
And what have you done before? Because we just were introduced to you like a month ago. So like streamer, like tell us about your life on the internet. Like,
yeah, basically I've been streaming for about 13 years now. I started off in StarCraft video games. Okay. I was kind of a professional gamer for a while. Okay. And then around 2016, I got into politics and I've been doing that for about 8 years. And I'm kind of known as like the debater guy, basically.
Yeah, you're definitely that guy.
Yeah.
What would you consider your political affiliation? What do you identify as?
I guess like far left to center left. I mean, it really depends on the thing. Right. I like guns. I come from Nebraska. I live there for like 30 years. I'm in Florida. But I also like socialized like healthcare. So I mean, it really just depends on what we're talking about.
On what the issue is.
Mm-hmm. Like a populist? Would you say
absolutely not.
No?
No.
Okay, why not?
Because I hate populism.
Okay.
What do you hate about populism?
What do you hate about,
Populism to me, it usually feels like you get a guy who says, everything is broken, everybody's against you, I'm going to come in and fix it all on my own. They usually have a really poor understanding of the government. They usually have a poor understanding of how all the systems work. Mm-hmm. And when they come in, they always underdeliver on their promises, I think.
Okay.
That's just my feeling. But
were you a Biden voter supporter?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I illegally voted for him 7 times. I dug up 6 corpses. I took them all to the voting booth with me. Every time I went, I wrote the vote in. Yeah.
Are you satisfied with what you've seen from the Biden presidency over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think so.
Think so? Really?
Absolutely.
Like what are some of his W's, like wins?
I think that one of his initial promises coming in was it 100 million vaccines in 100 days or something? And I think he did it in like 50 days. So that was cool. I think the leadership that we've taken in terms of how Ukraine is going, I think is going really well.
Okay, so you're pro-Ukraine, pro-vaccine.
I would say that the way that he generally conducts himself domestically and internationally is pretty positive. Okay. Like you can see that he's, as much as conservatives might not like him, he's not even like a lightning rod to attack. He's not very offensive to anybody. I think he does, for the most part, he's done a good job of being kind of like a uniting type figure.
Yeah, we would disagree. He's been pretty bizarre with some of his, like when he was like the winner of death and he wanted everybody just to die.
I mean, he's called, you know, in fairness to that argument, you know, he's referred to MAGA as being the greatest threat to America. Right.
To be fair, you guys tried to make that a really big deal, but I think it fell off after 2 weeks because it was pretty clearly he was talking about the people that didn't believe in the election, I think. And that was like, he made that comment like a year ago, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, but there was, I think that it still opens up the door to persuade the general voter that might have supported him that already looks at MAGA at this very negative light to dehumanize regular supporters, right?
I mean, maybe, but here's the thing. If we ask Republicans right now who they hate the most, they're going to have one of two answers right now, I think. And it's either going to be Trump or DeSantis, because those are like the two big factions right now that I think are fighting the Republican Party.
Right.
And I think that the eyes are on the Republicans are more on those two figures right now than anything Biden is saying or doing.
Wait, let's go back to the vaccine stuff for a second, because you got all 3 vaccines, all 3 boosters. What did you get?
All 3 of them.
All 3 of them?
I would have got more if I wasn't so lazy.
Why?
Because I think that vaccines are an effective way to reduce the risk of being hospitalized from the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Okay. Did you get the natural COVID? Did you get sick at all?
I think I've had it twice, I think, yeah.
After you got the vaccine?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't hospitalized either time. So
okay, well, I got COVID, wasn't hospitalized, didn't get the vaccine.
Have you met anybody that's had any kind of like complications since getting the vaccine, or maybe something that you haven't attributed to the vaccine?
Nobody from the vaccine yet, but I've had three older family members that didn't get vaccinated. Half my family is Cuban, and they got it, and they're dead.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? I'm sorry about your family members. Can you tell us a little bit about that? So did you grow up conservative? Was your family conservative?
My parents were both Air Force. So my mom came over when she was five, and then her family lived up in New York for a while, and then they joined the Air Force. She met my dad there. They moved to Nebraska, and then I was born and raised in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I grew up very conservative, ride or die, George W. Bush, Iraq War supporter, writing conservative articles for my school newspaper.
That's
and everything.
What she said the other day when she told me that. And I was like, are you sure you're talking about the same guy? She's like, no, I'm sure. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when did the shift come?
I feel like the most conservative point I was in my life was probably the lowest point of my life. It was when I was carpet cleaning. And then after I kind of got into streaming, I got really lucky and I found a break in streaming. And as I started to get more and more money, I realized like how unfair life was when I got really wealthy as compared to before. And then I started to realize that the deck's kind of stacked against you if you don't have as much money. And that really bothered me. One of the things that I look at this a lot through is through the lens of my son's life. So for instance, like I bought a house in the best school district. I sent him to school. When COVID lockdowns and stuff happened, every single kid in my son's school district has like an iPad that they can take home with them. Right. That's crazy. They have iPads in kindergarten. And there are some schools that don't even have like a good computer lab.
Right.
And I'm like, no offense to my son, but he didn't do anything to deserve that. He just happened to luck into a nice father, you know? Yeah. And when I see stuff like that, I look at a lot of stuff through the lens of like children. And I feel like a lot of kids get basically completely screwed before they've even had a chance to, you know, get on the train yet. And
but you just said right now that the lowest point was when you started streaming. So why does that make sense? Or what does that mean? I'm sorry.
There's, without getting into my story too much, basically,
right.
My dad, my mom and sister, my mom and my little sister, she was homeschooled. They moved when I was like 14, 15 to down here to Miami. And then when I was like 15, 16, my dad moved down to join them. And then I stayed in Nebraska to finish school. After I graduated high school, I worked through high school and then I worked after high school and I went to college and I couldn't do like college and work at the same time.
Okay.
And eventually I quit college for work. And then due to some crazy stuff, I ended up getting fired from work. So after a couple years, I had no school, no work history. And then I got a job cleaning carpets. My ex-girlfriend that me and her hated each other, got pregnant. And just everything in my life was just like I bought my first house at 19. And then at like 20, I was like going bankrupt. And I had a kid coming all the way with a woman who we fucking hated each other. And yeah.
But you chose life.
Yeah, I was really pro-life at the time. So good job, Nathan. You barely made it out.
19 years old.
There were some hard conversations there. You were really close to the vacuum tube there. But yeah, no, I thought about it a lot. We both talked about it a lot. But I've always been big on like, if you have certain principles and you believe in them, it doesn't count for anything. If like when things get hard, you're like, okay, I'm going to change up everything.
Right.
And if I would have done that, I wouldn't have any respect for myself. I'm pro-choice now, but at the time I was very pro-life. So
are you pro-choice personally or are you more pro-choice because you feel that just everybody should have the right to choose for themselves? Like, do you have
a lot of ideology for yourself? On our side like that. They're like pro-life for
them.
Until
it gets hard. Oh, go ahead.
And they're pro-life for them. And they're like, but I respect everybody's like more the libertarian stance,
right? Where they'll take a more pro-choice stand, not because they're not personally pro-life, but because they believe that it should be every American's right to decide for themselves.
I'm pro-choice philosophically, I think. So I would be pro-choice for everybody. If you want to be pro-life, then obviously one should force you to get an abortion.
Do you have a cutoff point where you feel
about 20 to 24 weeks?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So then that kind of 20 to 24 weeks, towards the end of
around like 5-ish months, I think.
Right. Yeah. Why did you choose 5 months?
Because
that's like already like a pretty far advanced pregnancy. Like you can survive if you have a baby at it.
I think the thing that I look to when I try to think about what's worth protecting in terms of human life, I'm generally looking at this like kind of human experience we're having, like the idea of being conscious and having awareness of things and feeling like pain and stuff like that. And I think that all the parts in your brain that are necessary to be computing that conscious experience are in place at about 20 to 24 weeks.
Okay.
So I think prior to that, it's just a thing that's never existed yet.
But have you seen the babies fight off abortion as early as like 12 weeks, 10 weeks?
I mean, I've seen like children that are like 6 with like hydroencephalitis that have no brain at all that look like they're kind of alive and they're probably not.
Yeah.
But I mean,
were you pro-choice for the vaccine?
I think politically I would have said yeah, I think ethically, I think it should have been forced, but politically, it's not really tenable to do that. I think, yeah.
How do you kind of like consolidate the two, right? Like, how do you believe that it should be pro-choice when it comes to abortions up to this 25-week mark, and not when it comes to something like the vaccine?
Well, I mean, we live in a democracy, so to some extent,
we live in a republic. Well, it's a constitutional republic, but
yeah, but sure. We vote. We have a representative democracy. We vote on figures, and sometimes we vote directly on policies, depending on referendums and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we live in a democracy. We live in a democratic republic. We have representatives, but we still vote for them. The way that I see it is there are going to be certain things that we're going to disagree on in the country. Mm-hmm. And as long as that's within like a certain tolerance, like you have to accept those disagreements. So like if somebody voted, for instance, that we wanted to kill all Mexicans, I'm probably not going to be okay with that. But there's going to be disagreements on like, should we all be vaccinated or, you know, pro-life or pro-choice? And for that, you probably leave that up to states or individuals to decide.
Yeah.
But for the vaccine, for the ethical position, because I personally am a big proponent of vaccinations, I think there's probably some ethical buy-ins you have, some responsibilities to participating in society. So that might include like not peeing in pools, not smoking on airplanes, and not being unvaccinated if there's like a contagious disease.
You do know that prior to the recent years, I'd say the last like 8 years, it was the liberals that were always against big pharma, against vaccines. A lot of the California moms were the first ones to be, and this was pre-COVID. I mean, it was the California moms that were leading the anti-vaccine brigade, if you want to, you know, call it that way. So what happened? Or, I don't know.
What do you think happened culturally there that like shifted that?
Well, culturally, I think that...
Because it's really weird how that happened. Like when I was when I liked Bernie Sanders, when I was more on the center left, being against big pharma was a big thing for me, right? So that's kind of like, that's flipped. It's now more of the right who is more against calling out big pharma, calling out Pfizer, calling out these vaccine manufacturers. Yeah. And then your side or the left is more like force, right?
I think in general, what you have are, we view things through this left-right lens pretty often.
Right.
But over the past 6 or 7 years, it's been harder to map political beliefs onto left versus right. When you've got people like Bernie Sanders and Trump.
Well, I think somebody like you defies that generally. I'll be honest with you. Like
that's, in some ways.
Sure, a little bit. Well,
pretty blue.
I defy it, I think, in normal ways. In that there are a lot of like Democrats that also like guns. Mm-hmm. Or there are probably a decent number of Republicans that are like, okay, with like some LGBT stuff, right? Gay people. So I define it in a pretty normal way. I think that there's another political axis that exists right now that people aren't as cognizant of, and it's this establishment versus anti-establishment thing.
Okay.
And I think prior to COVID, I think that Republicans in some ways were big supporters of parts of the establishment. So for instance, if you remember Bush before the Tea Party, Republicans were very big on like big business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like even if they would say they don't like immigration, they wanted immigrants, they wanted workers. Yeah. And then
some of the story, that's what the party wants to get back to with DeSantis. They want to reduce the MAGA populism and go back to the Bush boy Republican Party. That's what they want.
Right. Yeah.
Which leaves us politically homeless because we're Trump supporters, right? Like we don't necessarily care for Republicans. Mm-hmm. We voted Republican because Trump has led us to say, support DeSantis, support this person, support that person. But generally speaking,
it's really like a 70-30 rule when it comes to that, where we feel like, we identify as Republican just because in this failed two-party system, it's what most identifies with our ideology. Mm-hmm. But truth be told, there's plenty, you know, we spend most of our time criticizing Republicans and not Democrats because we feel it's a waste of time when we elect people. I didn't vote for a Democrat candidate. So the Democrat candidate doesn't owe me anything as a politician. Mm-hmm. It's these Republican candidates that do. But it does seem like, to go back to the question that Linda asked, even when it comes not just to vaccines, but I feel like we have seen, you look at the liberal from the 1960s, the 1970s, even up into the 80s and even like some of the 90s. And these were people that were anti-big corp, anti-big government. And now it seems like there has been a shift.
What I was kind of getting at was that like something we've seen. So Republicans through, I think, the Tea Party started to become a little bit more anti-establishment. And then especially when Trump came in, the Republican Party started to be really anti-establishment. If you look at the lefties before that were opposed to the vaccines, they were, like you guys said, they were like the hippie people, right? And those people are also anti-establishment. They're probably against big pharma, against like factory farming. They're probably a lot of vegan, stuff like that, right? But now you've got like a large section of the Republican Party that's kind of become anti-establishment. So they too will become against like the vaccines. So I think if you look at things through the lens of establishment and anti-establishment, it's always been anti-establishment people that are hypercritical of things like vaccines, and more establishment friendly people are probably more likely to trust like the FDA, I think.
Do you trust the establishment?
Yeah.
Do you feel that there's anything at all that the government could potentially lie to us about?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. But I think when we think about the scale or the types of lies, I think it's important to look at where the incentives lie, how many people would have to be involved, and who else would be incentivized to call those lies out. So like, somebody lying to like steal some money to like buy a nice car or something like that kind of a thing makes sense. I can see who benefits. It only takes a couple of people to cover it up. Like that story would make sense to me. But for some of the vaccine stuff, the idea that there are like hundreds or thousands of American citizens that are involved in government that are complicit in covering something up to hurt people. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything like that has ever happened in US in world history for any like democratic government. It would be like the biggest story of all time. And I think other countries would be more willing to call it out if that was actually happening.
I can get that. I think that, you know, what we talk about, because it's clearly a topic that comes up a lot in our circles, mm-hmm. is that it's really just our bigger issue with the vaccines has a lot to do with safety standards that don't exist. It's not just a COVID shot thing. It's really something that kind of applies.
Like, I'm against all of them. Like, my children will never see a single shot
Reagan's Act that takes away liabilities from these vaccine companies, it's also something that we think should be overturned, because if you make a shitty product, you should be held accountable for that. So while I'm very conspirational minded, but mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily unhinged theorist where I would think that there's just all these people in on it. Mm-hmm. I think that it comes down to a core problem that people maybe haven't looked at before, where now you're seeing a lot of side effects that people may have from the shot. We don't think that it's a majority of people. We're not ones to spread the idea that people are just dropping dead.
Yeah, we actually
mass numbers. We're very
I've been actually pretty against what the conservatives have been spreading in terms of like the sensationalism and behind the fear. Like every single person that's dropped is because of this pharmaceutical. Uh-huh. And that comes as like somebody that's complaining against all of them. Some people in the chats are saying your kids are going to die. I mean, if you've never looked at, that's kind of like how I started my platform, like anti the pharmaceutical shots, uh-huh. anti pharmaceuticals altogether. So, I mean, I'm not going to make the podcast about it, but there's just so much that they never told us about, even polio, right? People are talking about polio. You know, my friends right now that are informed, we see their children, the ones that are completely, fully, with all shots, very sick. They have asthma. They have all these different issues that 30 years ago children didn't have. And then my friends whose children have not gotten a single juice are perfect. No problems. They go to school. People asking, how do they go to school? You get exemptions. You can get, depending on the state, you have different exemptions, philosophical exemptions, religious exemptions, medical exemptions. So it's not uncommon to know that. It's just people don't walk around saying, hi, I'm completely unvaccinated, because of the pushback and the looks and the stares and the judgment that comes from people who are very pro-vaccine. So yeah, just want to make that point.
Yeah, it's like the dehumanizing of people that are anti-vax, which we don't think should happen on either side. We think there is a lot of dehumanizing that happens from.
I would dehumanize them, I think.
Do you think? Are you really pro dehumanizing people that don't? That's a huge issue.
I think it's a real. I think that vaccines are probably the single most important advancement we've made in the entire field of medicine. And I think that people that
That's how vaxxers are.
Then why does someone like Bill Gates lead it, who's not a doctor and doesn't?
Bill Gates doesn't lead anything.
Degree.
He has a foundation where he donates to important causes around the world.
Well, I mean, he leads it. He leads the conversation all over the world, right?
Like he's probably one of the largest philanthropic people in the world, right? He donates a ton of money to anti-malarial causes. He supports certain types of vaccines. Yeah. But why would him leading it be a bad thing?
I guess that it just to call him out, like he's been propped up as the expert in a topic that he wouldn't be an expert on, right?
I don't know if he's propped up as an expert. If I'm citing like research for COVID stuff, I'm probably looking at like studies that the CDC is citing or stuff that's
posted. How could you trust the CDC?
Because the CDC is ran by thousands of people and fact-checked by other private institutions, academic institutions, and governments around the world.
Do you know when was the last time any of the childhood vaccinations were tested for safety?
Every single medication that gets approved by the FDA is tested for safety.
So when Ronald Reagan signed the 1987 vaccination, I forgot, act, the name the that basically liability. Removed liability from pharmaceutical companies.
Uh-huh.
It basically gave the power to the CDC and the federal government to test these childhood vaccinations every 2 years.
Okay.
And a few years ago, it was Robert Kennedy Jr.'s foundation. Yes. They requested a, what is it called? The FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act to see how long ago they had been tested since 1987. We basically found out that they have not been tested as they should because we left that up to the federal government.
We don't leave, testing isn't done by the federal government. Testing is, well, I have. The research and the studies are published in journals like Nature and a whole bunch of different, the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yeah, but there's no long-term studies for any of them.
There are long-term studies
for none of them.
Some of it is, there's they'll no call it like phase four research.
For MMR, for nothing.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Well, for the MMR vaccines, these are newer vaccines, so the long-term data doesn't exist
right.
yet.
Even for polio, for none of them. I mean, it's, I mean, well, we don't want to take it. I mean,
the entire
topic.
Yeah.
I mean, we can take the entire topic there if we want, but I mean,
what
like,
a boring topic. We don't
I mean,
even talk
I will
about
say that in 2020, everybody said we were going to be dropping dead from the vaccines. We've had billions of doses and that none of it has happened.
Well, we never believed that.
There's no widespread conditions. There's no widespread side effects. There's no children.
For now, there's no long-term effects. There's no long-term studies either. So how
would
you know?
Well, because it's out of your body. Your body breaks it down and then it's gone. It's not like it lives in your body like somewhere for.
Well, but in fairness, it wouldn't be categorized. Like the right. truth is that the system isn't set up where if there was a side effect from the vaccine, like a doctor would never be like, oh, let's check to see if that could potentially be a side effect. Like,
well, I don't know what you would even check like for that. Because there's nothing left in the vac. It'd be like, let's.
The
I want to check and see if like
in heart disease amongst young people like would be. A
But you
a
know
big
what?
One.
I'm glad we're having this conversation, and I'm going to tell you why because we've gotten. A lot of shit from our own followers and from Republicans and especially from the online commentators for not going hard on Trump. Why is that? Because Trump has been very, I wouldn't say pro his vaccine and has pushed the vaccine multiple times. So they come back to us to say, well, look at Trump. He's pushing this vaccine.
Well, because he probably wants credit for it because he did the warp speed stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct.
We agree but that's the reason
right,
why.
That is the reason why. We agree with you. But my point is that we've gotten a lot of shit from our own followers saying, oh, you guys are not calling out Trump. This is an experimental vaccine. People are dropping dead. It's his fault, blah, 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 blah. And to my point, which is has always been our stuff, is people are pro-vaccine.
The majority of America
is pro-vaccine. The majority of people like yourself, like our friends, who got this, if you want to call it experimental vaccine, whatever it is,
even many
they don't think about it. Uh-huh. They don't think about it. Miami-Dade, which is now red, 70% of Miami-Dade is vaccinated.
Sure. But like we shouldn't have to think about every single thing we do in society. That's why we have these independent organizations. Like when you go to turn the key in your car, you're not thinking like, could my engine explode right now? You trust that the manufacturing process
is delivering
your car.
That's exactly the point that we have told our followers many, many times whenever they come back to say that we are just quiet on the vaccine stuff because we're Trump supporters and we're a cult. That's their argument against us. And our argument is, if we were a cult, why didn't we get vaccinated, right?
Okay.
But whatever, that's that.
Yeah,
and
we're
pro-choice. Like, if you want to get it, you get it.
And we think that that's always been the bigger conversation, which is that as Americans, everybody should have the right to choose. And why we don't knock Trump for pushing the vaccine, because we know that the majority of Americans think like you and they want access to it and they feel safer for it. So, you know,
why did you move here?
That was going to be my next question.
Florida.
So.
My wife wanted a place with beaches. She wanted a place that was warm. She could swim all the time. And then Eastern time zone is really good because when we stream, we can hit American and European audiences.
Okay.
So it's basically either here or like someplace in the Caribbean. And this is,
What year did you move to Miami?
I think a year and a half ago.
Okay. So you got here like right in the middle of the craziness when Florida gets all this bad rap because of Ron DeSantis. So was there any kind of like political fear from you, like moving into Florida? What were you expecting?
Nothing. I don't know. I mean, it's Miami. Miami's probably a blue city, I would imagine.
It's not anymore. But it was for a while.
Maybe it's a very recent snap. Yeah. But I don't know. It's an American place. I get along with all kinds of people. I don't think I'm going to get like...
You didn't think that there was did you ever think about like the politics of like Ron DeSantis being something?
Because some people do.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with a lot of his politics, but I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't affect me much. Like most Republican policies are going to massively benefit me. So even if I disagree with them, it's not like they're bad for me or anything, you know?
What's your take? You did mention the Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump civil war, and we know that Ron DeSantis is announcing probably right now,
I think
a little bit
today.
Before, that he's going to be running for 2024. How, I mean, you're in Florida now. You can't vote in the primaries anyways for a Republican incumbent. But how does that make you feel? Is there one or the other that you'd like to see go against Joe Biden in 2024?
I would like to see Trump go against Biden because I know that Trump will lose the second time. That's my feeling. I feel like for Republicans, I feel like we're probably going to disagree on almost everything, but yeah. I feel like
we expected that.
I feel like DeSantis is probably the better pick because one, he hasn't. It's really hard to run a candidate that's already lost against the incumbent. Like you've got the incumbent advantage and you've already lost. That's like a really big hurdle that Trump would have to overcome. I also feel like DeSantis is just a better leader. Like he's legislatively effective. He killed it in Florida during midterms and everything when a lot of the country kind of seemed to falter when Trump had their support behind them. He's just been a good leader for the Republican Party to like point and look like there's our guy. He's passing legislation. He's doing a good job. He speaks well. He's not like involved or embroiled in like all the crazy drama that Trump gets embroiled in all the time.
You mean you don't like the Twitter drama?
I mean, I think it's funny, but like not for my like the media president.
But a lot of it is sensationalism from the media that they just make shit up. It's not necessarily.
Well, I mean, they didn't make up like him like fucking like a porn star while his wife was like.
Well, but they did dig that up to try to get to him, right?
But he did do that, right?
Well,
that's kind of crazy. If Obama had fucked a porn star behind Michelle's back, I think the Republicans would talk about it a lot.
We don't know if he actually fucked a porn star.
He did.
In fairness, Hunter Biden is in the White House and he snorts crack.
Hunter Biden isn't an elected official, though.
Well, Hunter Biden was doing business with his dad, and we didn't vote. Being investigated right now.
Sure, but so, I'm not talking about Jared Kushner. I'm talking about Donald Trump, right? I'm not talking about Donald Trump Jr. I'm talking about Donald Trump, right?
Right.
So yeah, we can talk about if. I think those would be really good arguments if I was voting for Hunter Biden. I don't think I would vote for Hunter Biden for president because the crack thing is kind of scary among the other stuff. But I'm not voting for Hunter Biden. I'm voting for Joe Biden, right? And then when I look at Donald Trump, I'm looking at Donald Trump.
Do you not
Trump.
Think that his family is a representation of him?
Maybe a little bit. But if we talk about family's representations, Donald Trump is going to lose that battle 10 out of 10 times.
How? Like, his kids have none of the reputation that...
I mean, Kushner is doing massive deals all over the world with people like Saudi Arabia.
Right,
you've got,
right. And he's not going to be part of the Trump White House. And if he were to obviously win in 2024, and he did do a good job. I mean, there's a lot of things that I like that Kushner did. I know there's a lot of...
No, I don't like Kushner.
Yeah, but he did some good stuff. The peace in the Middle East and things like that. That was good. The Abraham Accords and whatnot. And he also negotiated the DACA, which they gave a shit for.
Yeah, that is
true. The DACA, the criminal justice reform.
How do you feel about that?
Well, criminal justice reform, that first step thing was never even funded. So I think that's like completely dead right now because I don't think Trump funded that. Are you sure?
No, it's not.
The first step thing?
You know how I know that's still going on? Mm-hmm. Because our people from our side, the ones pushing DeSantis, that's one of their main talking points right now. How, because of Trump, there's criminals back in the streets. They're pissed off about it.
My understanding was that the first part was called the First Step program or something.
Yeah. And that, they're still letting criminals out.
When he redid his budget, I thought that they had completely underfunded or not funded at all that initiative.
No, it's still happening. We're still getting shit for it.
We're still hearing about it.
Yeah, we're still
which brings it up.
Oh, and he also passed anti-gun legislation. I'm a pro gun guy.
He did pass the bump stocks.
It was good.
It wasn't huge, but it wasn't good because there shouldn't be any encroachment on the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, right?
Well, a lot of First Amendment things too. Kind of scary.
Like
saying that we should kick out people from the United States that burn the American flag. That's pretty spooky.
Well, guess what? I mean, people, you know, they have a Proud Boy in jail for burning a BLM flag in Washington, D.C.
I don't think anybody should go to jail.
If they, well, if there's somebody that was truly in jail just for burning a flag, that's probably not it. But if it was just for burning a flag, then that shouldn't be allowed.
Enrique Tarrio was originally arrested. Now, clearly, he's dealing with the January 6th stuff. But the original arrest was absolutely burning the January 6th flag. In fact, we've had the incidents here in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale, when they ran over the Pride flag painted on the street. I don't think anybody should be punished for burning a flag. That's one of the beauties of
in the United States. You cannot be charged with a crime for burning a flag.
Unless it's a BLM flag.
No.
Because then it's... Well, they do because they look at it as a hate crime.
No. If you steal from somebody and you burn a flag, then it's arson. And you can upgrade that to a hate crime. But that's the same thing. If I steal somebody's Bible and I burn that, that's a hate crime.
Right. No, the Bible is not going to get you into a hate crime.
Of course
crime.
It will. Yes, Christians, absolutely will. It's literally, it's literally a protected clause in the United States. If I steal somebody's Bible,
usually, but we
absolutely would.
We don't usually see it happen. Well, because you probably don't usually see BLM flag.
They want to know if you love black people. Why do they say that? Weren't you accused of being anti-black by this guy, Vaush?
Vaush is a crazy guy, but...
a lot of the guys that criticize you are crazy guys. We're going to get a little bit into the red pill space and away from the.
That's actually what we want to talk about because.
Sure. Talk about whatever you want.
But wait, I want to talk to you about immigration first. Your mom's an immigrant. You said she got her when she was really young. So, kind of, what's your take on what's going on in the border right now? I'm sure that you're pro immigration, like we are as well. But what's your take on this, like, wide open kind of a border situation we're seeing right now?
Well, I don't think we have a wide open border situation right now. I'm a big fan of just, we need like comprehensive immigration reform. I think we should give amnesty to every legal immigrant in the country right now, or a path towards it in 5 years or whatever. Okay. Obviously, the DACA kids should stay. And then I think we need to massively smooth over the immigration process into this country because it's a fucking nightmare right now.
Do you pretty much have a Trump standpoint on that? You know that Trump gave the DACA kids three times on three different occasions a pathway to citizenship in exchange for the border wall. And the Democrats basically, with Nancy Pelosi in charge, said no three times. Trump ended up winning that battle because he went through the military, got the funds through the military.
So he didn't win the battle. He had to use, he had to enact his presidential powers in an undemocratic way. Number one and number two, Trump tried to get rid of it.
But it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Trump. Yes or no?
That's true, but that's because the U.S. president has wide deference when it comes to exercising matters of national security.
So,
but saying that, like, well, I helped the border and I won that battle. Well, he enacted presidential powers to do it. Had it been against the law,
it would have gone into. It wasn't correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, but I'm just saying it wasn't an effect. That wasn't a good leader.
Right. But then is it not bad leadership that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats shut down DACA three times because Barack Obama in 2012? I mean.
Trump tried to get rid of DACA completely.
Because it was an unconstitutional program. And in exchange for that, it was, we're going to give you a pathway to citizenship. It wasn't constitutional.
It was constitutional.
No, it wasn't.
Then why did the Supreme Court defend it?
Who?
The Supreme Court defended it. He lost that case in the Supreme Court.
Well, he ended up getting rid of it, remember? And then he gave them an option three times, a pathway to citizenship. What you just described right now.
Wait, hold on. I thought DACA survived the Supreme Court challenge.
What you just described right now, every single legal or every that doesn't have a crime, all that stuff, right. I mean, you can pull it up. He gave them that option. And that's what he brought to the legislature. And they said, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, but that's his job as a leader. That was his whole point coming in as leader. He said, I can negotiate. I can bring these people to the table. I can do that. Right. Why he failed to do that.
Was the uniparty blocking them?
Do we have right now fighting to create a pathway to citizenship for these DACA? They don't want to use that right now.
Well, because I think right now we're insanely divided and immigration is not like the hot button topic right now that we're looking at like on a national level.
It's something that we talk about often clearly as, you know, Linda's an immigrant. Mm-hmm. I'm a first generation American born of immigrant parents. And to us, it seems so cruel to election cycle after election cycle use DACA. DACA resident citizens. I consider them citizens. Some of these people don't even speak Spanish, have never been to their home country in their lives. Mm-hmm. To leave this hanging and not create a solution specifically because they want the talking, they want the conversation and the topic, the hot topic during an election.
I think that right now, I think we just don't have the political coalescence. We don't have enough people that want to come together and figure out a solution for it. And it's just not like, that's not what's occupying our attention right now. Right now, it's like Ukraine, kind of inflation in the economy, and then like trans kids. I think it's like what everybody's kind of obsessed with right now.
Why are you pro-Ukraine?
Because I think it's important to defend a free Europe where democracies are allowed to exist without other countries coming in and
stealing. What about all of the undemocratic things that Zelensky has done? Like ban the Russian Orthodox Church, like ban every single news media channel that says anything against.
So Zelensky has not banned every single media channel that says anything against it. He banned foreign-funded media inside the country, and I think that is totally a-okay. I think that if it was World War II and there was a Nazi party in the United States, I think it would be okay to say we're probably not going to have a Nazi party in the United States.
So you just mentioned the Nazis. What about the very small fraction of neo-Nazis that are definitely defending Ukraine?
What about them?
What's your opinion on them?
I don't really like very far right elements of militaries, but I'm pretty sure we have some even in our own. I mean,
they're pretty much on the extremist side. I mean, and this was well documented way before this.
The well documented, that was like a few hundred of them. Number one. Number two, I'm not going to judge a country in the middle of a war on the most extreme parts of the military unless they start doing crazy extremist stuff. Uh-huh. And number three, I'm pretty sure every military in the world is probably going to have some of the more extreme members of society as part of that military. There's probably neo-Nazis in our military.
Being that you are center left or more on the left, wouldn't you be more pro-Russia?
Why on earth would I be more pro-? Russia has way more anti-Semitic or Nazi-ish aspects to their country than Ukraine does.
I mean,
have you seen like what the leader of the Wagner group looks like? Like the guy is like tatted up with a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff.
What I do know is that Vladimir is pretty pro-Israel and pretty pro-Jewish people. I don't know about the anti-Semitic.
I don't know about the pro-Jewish people thing, but there's a lot of anti-Semitism that mm-hmm. comes out of, there's huge anti-Semitic organizations kind of like St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Russia, I think, is home to a lot of that type of movement that foments anti-Semitism abroad. I know Sweden has issues with foreign elements that operate
inside
Russia.
Define anti-Semitism for us, please.
I mean, in the broadest sense, anti-Semitism is usually when you stand in opposition to like ethnically Jewish people. But I mean, that can be really broad or really narrow. It depends
exactly.
on.
Exactly. That's where.
Sure. So what I was referring to was that in the country of Russia, there are like terrorist organizations that try to do terrorist attacks against Jewish people that operate out of places like St. Petersburg and train people for like forward attacks or what in other countries.
Right.
That happens in Russia. And the Wagner guy, I'm pretty sure.
It's happening in Ukraine as well. No, that's not true. Yeah, absolutely. The Azov battalion are literal neo-Nazis.
Where is them attacking or killing Jews? Where is them doing pogroms? Doesn't happen. Like people look at like a tattoo or like a band patch and they're like, look at all the Nazis. Like, okay, well, where are all the Jews being killed? Or any Jews being killed?
Are
any
Jews being killed in Russia? Is this what you're saying?
In Russia?
There's a lot of Russian Jews.
No, I didn't say they're being killed in Russia, but I'm saying that there are more fascistic elements to Russia and there are more neo-Nazi aspects to the Wagner group, which operates with Putin's authority, essentially, than I think there are in Ukraine. I don't see like any anti-Semitism in Ukraine. I mean, they had two Jewish leaders. They were the only country in the world with two Jewish leaders, except for Israel, like 4 years ago. Like,
are you Jewish?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I didn't know that. He's pretty
pro-Jew.
We came across your content because, I mean, we had to get in the conversation. We knew that we weren't going to agree on anything politically, but we still think that it's important for these conversations to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that a lot of people are scared to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Given the same commentary that we got under our own polls where they're like, why are you bringing this guy on? He's a liberal. It's like, well, because these conversations are important. And part of what's wrong with the country right now is that we're not coming to the table with these conversations so we can find the points that we do agree on.
Sure.
I think we're going to find a lot to agree on now when we get into this red pill space, right?
Okay. So you don't want to fight on anything else? Socialized healthcare or
We're very black pilled.
Sure.
Like we're in the
super doomer,
extremely doomer pilled. Like we don't care.
We have very little faith.
Like if Joe Biden's president, like I genuinely, honestly, I don't focus my energy on Joe Biden. We never really talk about Joe Biden. We don't hate on Joe Biden. We don't fucking cry about him. And if he wins again, I don't give a shit.
Right? Yeah,
like,
sure.
Just like your life hasn't changed with, you know, DeSantis living in Florida. Mm-hmm. My life, except for things that are more expensive, which most, you know, I can't control. And I don't really care. Like nothing's changed.
What's your background? Where are you guys from?
Cuban and Colombian.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Gotcha. Yeah.
Cuban and Colombian. So Destiny, we really kind of came across. So the algorithm, the YouTube algorithm, starts sending all of this red pill content to us. Probably
to everybody, I think.
We did one podcast with Femme Sapien. And then after that, it was like, this was the content sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're hearing the very controversial things that come out of the red pill movement, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And then you show up and you're like a blue haired angel
preaching
some kind of common sense, normal
sanity.
Just not being insane, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sanity, I would say.
We wanted to bring you on because we think it's so contradictory. It's kind of what we've said about this red pill movement that really tries to latch itself onto conservative traditional values and all these other things. And it's like, this movement couldn't be further away from anything that has to do with conservatism, conserving the nuclear family, or any of the things that they claim to, I guess, prioritize or find value in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go off and they do this different thing. So I want to play a clip from you.
And also, and it just happened in the chat, that any pushback or commentary that we do against any other talking points in the manosphere comes off as, you're a feminist.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a feminist. That here comes the feminism. You're a feminist. And then all, you know, your post-wall, your expired milk. I mean, all it's Probably don't forget Cat Lady as well.
Could I get a water? That'd be great.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
So I'm going to play this video in the meantime, which we thought was hysterical.
I know a fair amount of conservative women. I have never in my life gotten this collection of conservative women who are like, I really like dating red pill guys. Like, they really have it figured out. I love their approach to relationships. I like the way I get treated. I have never heard them in my life. I have gotten a lot of emails from women that are like, oh my God, I'm worried this guy said something in a date and I think he listens to Andrew Tate. You'll never hear it in any of these conservative women communities. I don't know if you're in it. I don't believe you heard it, even if you tell me you have, where these women are like, oh yeah, these red pill guys, like, they're so good to date. I love dating them so much. Mm. All of them seem like men that are who hurt you types. All of them seem like they're carrying baggage. A lot of them seem like they have issues because of the communities that they come from. And then when you listen to them talk about women, it feels like it's so much contempt. These single moms, these sluts and OnlyFans girls taking advantage of everyone. I don't see like these respectful communities of men who are like, yeah, like, I'm a guy, I work really hard, take care of my body, I take care of my stuff, and, you know, I'm trying to get in a relationship. It's always so much more contemptuous than that.
This was such a great take, because this is something that we talk about as conservative women that do value the nuclear family, gender roles, are anti-feminist, don't believe in it. Part of what we've noticed with the red pill movement is that it's very much the same kind of toxic traits that we find within third wave feminism is a lot of the toxic traits that we find in the manosphere. This wanting to completely discredit the other very necessary gender in order for us to survive in society. What do you think when it comes to this take that you have about conservative women, how do you think that they kind of like consolidate these thoughts where they want traditional women with traditional values, pure, untouched? We had Sterling Cooper here a couple of weeks ago. And to us, it's kind of like mind-blowing that a man like Sterling Cooper, who's had a past like he has, working in porn, very promiscuous, pushing these things, that he would say that he wants a young, pure, untouched woman. And that somehow they think that that kind of woman is going to be attracted with somebody to somebody that has that kind of very promiscuous lifestyle.
So my mom was Cuban. I was raised very Catholic. I went to a Catholic private grade school, and then I went to a Catholic high school. So I have like a pretty good understanding of what conservative values are supposed to look like. And then I understand how the left will attack conservative values a lot. Sometimes to me, it feels like the red pill movement is a guy saw what the progressives said conservatives are like, and then they actually followed that. So for example, something that the left will say a lot about conservatives is, or I'll be more specific, something that the left would say a lot about religious people or Christians is that it's sexist because men think that they're better than women. And the proper Christian response is supposed to be, it's not that men are better than women, it's that men are the leader of the family in the world, but women are the head of the household, and there's a partnership between husband and wife where they're equally important. They have separate responsibilities. The woman is leading the household and the man is like representing the woman of the world and the family of the world, earning money, etc. But it's very much like an equal thing. They're both incredibly important. It's never supposed to be like the man is better than the wife or the husband is over or superior to the mother, even if he might make ultimately the final decisions on some things. But people on the left will say like, oh, you just think men are better than women and that men can do whatever they want. And then it feels like the red pill looked at them and they're like, actually, yeah, that sounds really good. Men are better than women. We're different. We can do all these things. Women need to be young, submissive, trainable.
That's a good word.
Yeah, this is their words. This is what they'll say. So they take like the most bastardized version of like Christian values, and then they take like the most surface level takes about it, and then they kind of like apply that broadly to their lives, I think. And that's essentially how they run. And they'll look at like dumb stories in the Bible, like, well, King Solomon and all these people had a million wives, so we should be able to do all this.
Yeah. It's like they, you know, having 10 wives isn't the same as like sleeping around with 100 whores.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure.
It was for survival.
Sure. Yeah. Like, yeah. Or that too. They'll point out to like, well, harems existed in the past. I was like, well, not because women were choosing to be in them, but because the men would kill them if they didn't join, you know, or and it was also, like the rich or wealthy or elite. Right. Yeah.
That was a way of procreating. And
so how did you start getting involved in that space? Is it just, they wanted to debate you or like YouTube or like, how did that happen?
I think
you've owned them. You've literally dragged them and owned them. And again, we disagree on politics and whatever, and perhaps some of the social stuff as well. But like, it's been
credit where credit is due.
Literally,
it's very
refreshing
the way that you call them out on their own hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. So like, how was it a desire to kind of call out their hypocrisy that got you into the sphere?
I think a little bit, yeah. I have like a pretty varied life, so I have a lot of religious background. Mm-hmm. So when I hear somebody say, one of the biggest pet peeves I have no offense to either of you to this, but when people say that, like, oh, like, I'm religious, but I'm non-denominational, I don't go to church. When I hear people say things like this, usually they're not religious. They're kind of like picking and choosing parts to like build their own fun thing. Mm. You know, it's like, oh yeah, like I believe in God, but I also smoke, I drink, I gamble, and I fuck, you know, 20 women at once. It's like, okay, well, what are you actually religious for? You just right. want, it's like that type of religious person is like the same as like the blue haired liberal that pretends they mm-hmm. are, you know, whatever, correct. Just to get attention. Right. Yeah. So that part bothered me. I've been married now for 4.5 years. I've been in a lot of long-term relationships. So I know like what healthy relationships look like. I know what unhealthy relationships look like. Because my marriage is open and everybody's obsessed with that, I have like a lot of experience with hookup culture. So I know how hookup culture works. So when I go to the red pill space, I feel like they have really bad takes on religion. They don't understand how any of that structure works. They don't talk ever about how to maintain healthy relationships. So I never hear anything there. And even the things they say about hookup culture is usually bad advice, and it's a horrible approach to things too. So when all of these things are out of balance, it makes me want to step in and be like, this is really dumb.
Somebody's got to say something.
Yeah. Well, and I always like fighting with people. So yeah.
And like going in, we like, you know, as yeah. women that grew up in Miami, it's always funny to hear somebody like Myron complain about like Miami, like culture. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, women won't pay attention to you unless you've got such and such money, or unless you look a certain way. And it's like, dude, like that's, first of all, that's not real. There's plenty of women in Miami that will look at
I was gonna say, because like I came to Miami a lot, because my grandma, grandma's Cuban, I came to Hialeah every summer. Okay.
Oh,
Hialeah is a much different place than Brickell and Miami Beach, right?
Correct. Miami's we're from Kendall.
Okay, so, yeah, okay. Very, my parents live down
right,
near
so
Homestead.
Very so very different okay. place yeah, than, exactly, than yeah. any of this.
But people will say, when people say, and I have to remind people this all the time, right. nobody that says Miami means Miami. No. They're talking about Brickell and they're right. talking about Miami Beach. That's it.
Which is like not a representative of all of it. That's not Westchester, Coral Gables. And as women,
it's like somebody saying like they live like in Albany, New York, and you're like, oh, I've been to Times Square. That's right. the same thing,
it's
right?
It's not. Yeah.
And then you're saying, as a woman.
So I got dragged, obviously, on YouTube because I said, we don't go clubbing at all. We don't go out at all. We're very mm-hmm. chill people. But back when I was in college, back when I was also in the
also
liquor industry,
post-wall,
right?
Fam.
Where, and I was in the liquor industry. So imagine I was out a lot. I had clients. I would go to live. I would go here. And my argument was, because they're like, they basically think in the manosphere that if you go out, you go to a club, the
you're
guy
fucking
buys
20
your
guys
drink,
that
you're
night,
fucking
yeah.
everybody. If you end up at a table, like you're for sure, like that's what they told me. Like, oh, she was spreading her cheeks. And I'm like, I've never in my entire life, or my girls back in the day were offered like, hey, come to this table, come have a drink, or come to our boy, whatever.
But
you have to put out. Like
that's never happened.
And of course, I got dragged on that clip. It was pretty bad. And I don't know if it's like because of the manosphere or their experiences, or they just think all women
personally,
are whores.
Personally, to me, I look at Myron and I just yeah. see somebody who probably went to clubs and tried hitting on like 10 freaking baddies, yeah. verified baddies on Instagram, and nobody paid him the time of day because he's going after a particular kind of girl. And yeah. when we're looking at some of the things that have been exposed on the internet, like him hanging out in sugar baby sites, then of course you've got this warped view of what all women look like because you are attracting a certain kind of woman.
That's the thing that bothers me the most. That, like, I wouldn't mind what they're saying. I wish they would be like clear that they're talking about a very, very, very specific demographic.
Very small.
Of
correct.
People.
It's not yeah. like a generalized yeah. statement.
But they'll
of
make these statements
women.
About how like their one-ended open relationships is a really big deal. And they'll say things like, oh, like women are okay with sharing a high value man, like multiple women will share. And it's like,
no,
that is an incredibly
and
rare.
And also, what is their definition of a high value man?
Like, well,
what,
it changes based on the conversation.
So what about you? What do you think a high value man is?
If you're talking like in the broadest sense of like biology, a high value man is probably just somebody that can secure and partition resources. So okay. like a guy that can get things, basically.
Like a hunter gatherer.
But basically. It doesn't have to be that you own a Bugatti. It doesn't have to be they make $1 million a year. It's just.
Well, I mean, like high value can mean different things in different places, right? So for some people, the thing they might secure might be like social credit. Like it might be a guy that's not very wealthy, but he knows everybody. He's got a lot. Okay. Like churches would be good examples of this. Like preachers can be high value men in that they have a lot of social capital. They know everybody right. in a given city. They can talk to anybody. They can talk to politicians sometimes, mm-hmm. depending on how big they are. It might be a guy that makes $120,000 a year that lives in Kansas. That guy's got a lot of money, right? It might be a real estate owner in New York.
A lawyer.
Might be a lawyer. Yeah, just depends.
Would you consider yourself a high value man?
Obviously.
Obviously.
Clearly. But I mean, I make a lot of money and I'm pretty influential on YouTube, so I guess.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, your wife is beautiful. And one of the things that I was saying,
well, we think you're winning the game.
How is the blue haired liberal the only one that has a hot wife, is married, and is actually living the life
together? Like,
this is one of the things that, like, I stress this a lot. And there are the dichotomy of like people's lives versus their political views is always very funny. I was talking to another friend about this last night. Something that's very interesting to me is progressive families seem to produce almost like, this is going to be really mean, but like these ideal conservative women, and that you get like these blue haired crying feminists that don't want to do anything. They don't want to work. They blame all their diseases. But then okay. when you go to the conservative families, they actually produce the most feminist women, because it'll be these women that'll yep. come out and talk about conservative values, but they're working, they're not getting pregnant. Right. They're like on their shit. Right. They're like taking care of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that difference in people is very funny to me, I think.
We wanted to get your take on this tweet that Sterling Cooper put out today.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, women will orgasm quicker and more intensely if they know you've recently cheated on them.
That's another thing that Pearl, I've heard a lot of people bring that up too. Like, women like it when guys cheat because it makes them more competitive. And I'm like, it's just the dumbest. Like, when somebody starts to get to that level of speaking, like, I don't even know where to begin to have a conversation.
Do you
like,
think that Pearl even, do you think that she just regurgitates kind of what she hears like on her chats and from other turns? Do you think she actually believes something like this? That
I think
woman...
I think she regurgitates, but I think she does believe it. Yeah.
You think?
Unfortunately.
I can see why somebody like Pearl, who maybe hasn't had a lot of options open to her, might believe something like this. I don't think the average woman would agree with this at all.
No, absolutely not. That's why I make the joke. We're like, I don't think yeah. there's like, I get women that email me who are like petrified because they'll go like on a date and they'll hear a guy say like a buzzword and like, oh shit, he might be like an Andrew Tate follower.
Is he
and they don't want anything
that.
To do. Yeah.
It's like we've defaulted to like asking people like, how much time do you spend on the internet? Do you know what the manosphere is?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
right.
immediately it's like you're out. Mm. I mean, I'm married, but Linda's still trying to find a suitor.
What about Pearl? Tell us about Pearl.
We want to shit talk Pearl. Eh?
No, we don't want to shit talk Pearl.
We don't want to necessarily shit talk Pearl.
It's not about shit talking Pearl because we actually started off really liking her content and some of the stuff that's like she says is very true.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you can't live your life just in statistics, because if I were to live my life like that, then we're just going to be judging every single black person that's walking on the street as a walking statistic, or every single Latino as a walking statistic, or a white person like yourself as a walking statistic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, like you can, I mean, statistics are important. You should take them into account.
Right.
But I feel like when it comes to Pearl, I feel like if I learned how to code, like in 1 week, I could write a script that would generate you like a different Pearl take every single day.
Okay.
Like it's like, take some totally normal thing that women do, find a way to warp it in an absurd way, and then like use it to excuse some horrendous guy behavior. Like it'll be some shit where like women are actually, even though men cheat more, women are the largest liars in society. And the reason why is because they mask who they really are with makeup and men don't know what they look like. And women do this so that they could lie and obscure how they actually look from men. And that's why when men cheat, it isn't even really that big of a deal, because women are cheating all the time with their looks. Like that would be like a Tate that like Pearl would
cheat. That totally
that.
Sounds like
Pearl. I could do that with like 50 million different things.
Bizarre things.
Yeah, I could do this with like any bizarre. Possible thing where, and like Pearl would have like these tweets.
Turn it around.
Yeah.
Who, if you feel comfortable saying, who would you rate as the most insufferable person in the manosphere?
Oof. There's a guy recently called MLD.
Oh my God, the greasy salesman that I was
greasy salesman.
I was supposed
salesman.
To be on that panel, but they messed up. I was supposed to be on that panel and they messed up with my schedule. They never like confirmed the whole thing. So the guy the night before, I was like, look, I can't make it. Mm-hmm. But I was supposed to be on that panel with your
there's
wife.
A, there's
Tell
like
me
a
more
feeling,
about him.
Yeah, okay. So I
know he recently had, I can't believe he recently advocated for women being beat and staying in marriages. And I know that that's something that's currently going viral with your
Jesus.
Content.
Yeah, he clarified on stream today. He was like, if you get hit once, you shouldn't leave. You should work through it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh God.
Yeah, thanks Jesus. For the clarification.
Yeah, I know.
Really helped you out there, but
yeah, Jesus Christ. One thing I don't like, the thing that drives me the craziest, and it's going to be more extreme in these spaces because these guys are supposed to be the alpha men. I don't like it when people have one type of energy online, and then when they come in real life, they have a totally different type of energy. That is the, especially when they do that with women. Like if you are in front of a man, so I was in front of MLD on the Whatever podcast, and this guy is like, oh, so Destiny's so cool. He's the true red pill guy. He's like, he lives his own life. He's awesome. But then when I'm not there, and yesterday he's on a show with my wife and she starts speaking, he's like, oh, this is a Destiny debate tactic. Oh, of course she'd say that. She's Destiny's wife. And I was like, well, why didn't you say this shit to me when I was in front of you? But now he's in front of all the women who are roasting the fuck out of this clown, rightfully so, right? Because he wants to go to probably Japan and fuck a 16-year-old who doesn't know anything. anything, right? Thought, yeah. Yeah. Now he's got like all this energy for them. He ends up getting called out by one of the adults on stage. He gets dressed down like a child, and then he scampers off stage like he's Gollum, okay, looking for the ring. And now, like the next day, he's on another podcast saying like, oh yeah, when I was on that stage, I was calling her like, I was saying she was a fat bitch, and I told her to her face. But if you actually watch the show, she was like, what did you call me in chat? And his response was like, I don't know. What did I say? Oh, I don't really remember typing anything. Taking like, I don't know. Yeah, it was.
Walking it back.
I would have had more respect for him. If he would have just said on the show, he's like, yeah, I called you a fat bitch. I say that in chat. So I was like, okay, fine. At least you own it. But oh my God, that difference drives me insane.
Where did he come from? I don't know where he came from. He's such a rude. And the thing is that he just looks so greasy and sweaty all the time. I can smell him from the screen. Am I exaggerating that? Have you seen this guy? It's like, I feel him.
Yeah,
personally, for me right now, like peaking the charts is Waller, Jay Waller.
Justin Waller.
He's like,
were you with on that one with the whatever and Lila Rose, Lila?
No, but I've seen a lot of her clips come out of that.
Okay.
She's like the trad Christian lady, right? I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like the standard trad woman that they claim feminine, soft-spoken, traditional values, you know.
The problem with these guys, and this is the issue, and I just recently put this together like 2 weeks ago. The problem with all of these guys is they are new money. So they have no idea. They don't know what wealthy people look like. Right. They don't know how wealthy people move. And it took me so long to figure this out because my family wasn't exactly wealthy, not a lot of problems, but I went to a private school. So I've been around a lot of wealthy families. Right. So when I hear these guys, I don't want to show it. And I'm saying something like, rich guys aren't going to date a girl from Target. And all of these guys are like, no way. Rich guys love to go to like Target and Starbucks. And I'm like, bro, if you're a wealthy guy and your mom and dad are fucking doctors, lawyers, you're not bringing home a random chick from the street. Yeah. Right. And it's like the craziest takes ever. But I think for a lot of these guys, because they just got rich on like YouTube or some crypto shit, they think that like, oh, well, this is how wealthy people act. They'll fuck every single girl ever. And it's like, that's what an NBA player would say. That's not what a Rockefeller or a Kennedy would say.
When they say, you know, we don't care women's education. Men don't care about women's education.
Or Christian Waller or Justin Waller, he said on that show, he's like, I dated a woman that made $300,000 a year and a woman that made nothing. And they were the exact same to me. And it's like, how would they be the exact same? What do you mean? What are you looking at? Yeah.
What high
like the same from
man?
The waist down or what?
Correct.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Correct. Like what kind of high value man doesn't want to be able to have some kind of like level of conversation, mutual interest, especially anything at all with a person you're sharing your bed with?
I think it's very different, as you said, if it's like an NBA player or something like that. They come here. I mean, I've seen them at the back end of the day, but at the club, they don't care. They bring all these hoes over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like when Reggie Bush had his wife and then he got the bottle girl pregnant. It was like the craziest thing in Miami going up because that's how they are. But a guy like that's a Google exec or someone like that, he may go after a younger model, but she still has a higher social status than the girl at Starbucks.
And it's just what or the girl at the value, gas station. Right? Like a lot of these guys amongst one another, and this is kind of a point that I've made several times. They don't realize that at a vibrational level, the way that they operate, the kind of woman that's actually an ideal match for them.
It's the only fan hoes that they hate.
The only fan.
Yeah, that's what I know. They'll say things like, a woman's job is to find a man that can secure resources, and a man's job is to fuck as many women as possible. And it's like, okay. Well, if that's how you move, then you can't complain when all women are like greedy gold diggers that are looking to like one up and monkey branch to the next guy. Cause those are the only types of women you're putting yourself out there for. And then, but then these guys will say like, no, like these guys will say like this show, they'll be like, women don't care about body count, but men absolutely care about body count. And it's like, if you go into a church and you're trying to pick up a woman, you tell you fuck 50 guys or 50 girls by the time you're 30, like this woman is not going to fuck
with you.
It's
not even a church, dude. Like, we're pretty modern people. And it's like, nobody wants to hear that you've been with like 50 to 100 women potentially exposing me to STDs. And then on top of that, you want to continue to cheat because like in contrary to what you experience, there's an open relationship where both of you have a mutual understanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's precautions taking place or whatnot, as opposed to just going out and cheating on me, potentially bringing something back home to me. Mm-hmm. And then saying that I'm a high value woman. I cannot imagine. I don't have children, but I can imagine that if I did, that if I had a daughter, that the life that I would choose for her is Andrew Tate because he has access to a Bugatti.
Yeah, and I was asking this guy, I was like, would you be okay with your daughter dating Andrew Tate? And they're like, squirm, like, yeah, I think I'd be like, bullshit. That's, you would not no, find if some fucking weirdo not, no. who lived in Romania uh-huh. was asking your no. daughter to go and move no. over with him and he ran a fucking cam studio, you would not be okay. You
absolutely
would kick that
not.
Motherfucker's ass if you had the opportunity to.
You would absolutely guaranteed, not be yeah. okay with that.
Or if your daughter called you and she was like, oh, my husband just, I found out that he was fucking another woman in our bed yesterday. You wouldn't be like, well, listen, daughter, is he a high value man? That's just what yeah. you have to tell her. Like, bullshit. You would never be
doesn't
okay with
happen.
That.
Yeah. That would never yeah. happen.
No shot.
And those are the conversations. So Lila Rose actually brought up that point to Jay Wilder.
Yeah.
And his response was, I'm not going to simp for my daughters. I am going to be who I'm going to be.
That's well, if you're going to simp for anybody, it should probably be for your daughter, right? What do you
kids?
Mean?
Yeah. Like how is that even an ideology that you attach
it
to your children?
It reminds me of the, there was a, do you know what 4chan is?
Yeah. Yeah,
it reminds me, there's an old 4chan copypasta and it's like, but it's like actually true now, but it's like they wrote, it was like, if you really think about it, the ultimate cuck is being a father because you spent 18 years raising an innocent daughter for another man to defile. And in a way, you're the biggest cuckold of them all. And it's like people like actually believe this shit now. I'm like, you guys are insane.
That is so the, the ideology. When I heard him say that, like, I'm not going to simp for my daughter. It's like, dude, how insecure can you be that like just showing affection, wanting something more for your daughter, like just admit that you're wrong here. Like, just take the L on that. It's the lifestyle that you choose. Another point, he's really my least favorite.
No. I saw a video of him captioned like, this is how you become like a pussy sponge or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, could you imagine?
Which is so disingenuous, right? Because he's charging people money for this dating course. Meanwhile, he's like 6'4" with like the bone structure of Giga Chad. Mm. And it's like, God did that. Like, your magic treat to women is the fact that you're just built like that. Realistically, we're going to have a panel of women on tomorrow where we're going to discuss this. Like, women will go after guys because they're funny, because they smell good, because they're nice, because they make them feel special. It's that alone is enough to get a guy laid. And I've seen it with my own. I've seen overweight, short men broke that know how to have swag or are witty and are funny and still pick up chicks. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's so disingenuous for somebody that's like 6 foot something, perfect bone structure, you know, built like that to go out and be like, oh, I've got the trick to getting women. I've cracked the code. It's like, well, you didn't really do that.
I didn't even know. Like, I'm 5'8". I didn't know until I got to the internet, for instance, how obsessed men were with height. And you'll find these guys who are like, I've never gotten a girl before, but I think it's because I'm 5'10". And it's like, bro.
What?
Yeah.
You love short kings.
short kings.
Like, it'll be people that aren't even like that short. It'll be people that are like 5'11". That lion say they're 6 foot. Like, oh, I don't
this
think
is
I'll
the reason
and
why.
I'm like, bro, that's not the reason why. Like,
let's go through some of these super chats. We got a funny one here. All right. So Diego Bravo is asking, appreciate not focusing on the boring bullshit arguments. Also being Puerto Rican, we dance with everybody for every single party together. Totally normal. Yeah, it's so bizarre that this is even like news that's circulating right now, as if it was the biggest deal. And the fact that it really took up like 20 minutes of the whatever podcast.
There's been this obsession since the red pill stuff, and probably a little bit earlier. People are like obsessed with like cuck hunting. And I don't know if it's because they fantasize about the stuff, so they project it on other people.
That's what we think.
Yeah, but they are obsessed with like, that guy's getting cucked. He's getting cucked. I think there's a cuck right now. Oh, look at this. And I was like, bro, like, and people will like send me, they're like, people will DM me stuff. And they'll be like, I think right now there's like a juicy black cock that's fucking your wife. I'm like, bro, I feel like you're thinking about this way too much.
People are drawing pictures
and shit of it. I'm like, bro, you're obsessed.
And they want details. You go on these podcasts and they're like, cool, so tell me more
about your sex life. It's like, bro, what the fuck?
Fucking weird, dude. You guys just got on here. Can you say hello? Can you let them have a conversation that's still a married couple with a private life? It's just so fucking bizarre that this is the norm. Got a shout out from Joe Chaps. He say,
Pepe is like the frog guy and he's the dinosaur guy. Yeah.
Okay. Please ask Destiny about J-Boy's ex. J-Boy's ex is my favorite YouTuber and I want to know Destiny's thoughts on him.
Fuck. I don't know anything about that guy.
We're going to have to do research and get back to you. MMMMM. Ask Destiny when he's going to play League or CSGO.
Those are... One of those is a really horrible video game. I might play the other one at some point in the future. We'll see.
Steve, que carajo, motherfucker. I sent you to the store hours ago. And of course, it's stated the person is Destiny's wife's boyfriend.
Nice.
They're so obsessed with this shit, dude. Mm-hmm.
It's a black guy.
Always. Always a black guy.
Is that always the case?
It's always a black guy.
This is the best one. 20 years from now, Big Clip says, 20 years from now, it will be Nick Fuentes versus Destiny for POTUS.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That would be iconic.
Are you guys Fuentes fans? Do you know what Fuentes is?
We are not Fuentes. We're not Fuentes enthusiasts, but we believe that he shouldn't be canceled by our own party as he is. Okay. Because believe it or not, and as hard as the left is on him, the right is much harder on Nick Fuentes. And we're
the right is worse because they don't want to be seen as Nazis.
We're free speech absolutists, and we find that calling people, even though he definitely has very controversial takes, we think that as an American, he should be allowed to have those takes just like anybody else should. As long as he's not truly enticing violence, not just because the media says that he is, because his messaging is wrong. I think that as long as somebody isn't enticing violence, then hate speech, despite it being vulgar, horrible, we could disagree with it, should still be protected at all costs.
Are you a Fuentes fan or not fan?
I fucking hate that kid.
Yeah. For real?
Yeah, because he always tries to get me banned. Like right now, him and his whole people are like spam reporting all of my shit. Yes, really? I know.
We don't like that. That sounds horrible.
I know, he does.
The argument we're making for him. So you hate him? Canceled.
Well, I hate that they're trying to spam report on my shit right now.
Have
he's
you
like,
debated him before?
Oh, yeah. We've had a long history.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
What is some of the content? What do you think is like the content that he's trying to get? Is it something particular that he's trying to get taken down?
I'm very far left, okay? And I believe in things like the patriarchy and systemic racism. Like, I think these are real things. But I think that the left goes fucking crazy, okay? Like, a guy won't hold the door open for a woman and she'll be like, this is the patriarchy and I'm getting raped right now, right? Or they'll be like, a black person gets like a bad look from a white person and they'll be like, this is systemic racism and I bet that guy's gonna get me fired from a job 20 years now. So like, for instance, like some of the recent stuff, did you watch any of the City Bike stuff?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know you were getting some shit for it. I saw
it on Twitter. So these types of circumstances drive me fucking crazy because as soon as skin color gets involved, people's brains shut the fuck off immediately, right? Like I'm hearing people say, like, it's like five adult men and one woman on a bike and people are like, oh, why is she acting so afraid? And it's like, these are the same people that if you talk about like rape culture, they'll say like, well, if one woman is in a bar and there's a guy looking at her weird, you know, she's got to be afraid for her fucking life because any guy could attack her at any time. But now there's like a 6-month fucking nurse on a bike. And it's like, well, why is she afraid? It's just five guys. They're being so friendly to her. And I'm like, but because it's like, and then also, again, I hate to do this because it's an old conservative calling card, but if you swap the races, if it was five white dudes and one black woman on a bike, the response would be exactly the opposite. And it happened in the fucking train thing where people like the white nationalist Marine killed the poor innocent black guy. And it's like this, like the obsession with the racial shit is
just, think that's organic or do you think that that's something that perpetuated by like the media?
No, I think it's organic. I think that people hear it all their lives and they become conditioned to look for it. Yes. And once you hear it so much, it robs your ability to see anything beyond that. Like if people tell you your whole life that America is the most racist country in the world and everybody's systemically racist and everybody's individually racist and everybody's individually sexist, well then of course you're going to view the lens you're going to use to view every single interaction is going to look like that. And that's,
do you think there was like a hyper focus on that over the last couple of years though that might have heightened racial tensions in the
country? Personally think that COVID ruined everybody's brains. I think that I think that normally we progress like culturally to some extent, but we're also like working and doing other shit. And when the lockdowns happen, we all went into do you know what Dragon Ball Z is?
Yes.
Do you know what the hyperbolic time chamber is?
No, but
it's where they go to train for like one day, becomes like a whole year.
Okay.
I think that happened with COVID. We like massively accelerated into crazy spaces where people had like a year's worth of time to stay at home and get politically fucking crazy. Yeah. And COVID I think that the BLM riots, people were bored as fuck. They all went out and they
wanted to fuck shit up.
Got hype and shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened.
Were you actually scared of COVID? Did you lock down yourself?
Initially, I was.
Mask and everything.
I wore the mask in my car when I was driving around. I thought
that guy.
I was that. Well, like in the first few days,
Get out.
You got to be.
In fairness, I was too. The first day was
scary as fuck. Well, also because I don't know if you guys were here in Florida?
Yes.
Okay. The scariest moment of my entire life. Have you guys ever been in a tornado before?
No. We've been in hurricanes.
I have.
I live in Nebraska. Tornadoes are very weird because what'll happen is a huge thunderstorm, lightning, hail and everything. And then before you get to the wall cloud, that doesn't produce any rain. So the wind dies down, the rain is gone, and it's just a very eerie silence.
Kind of like the eye of a hurricane.
Yes. So in California, as soon as the lockdown started, as soon as COVID and all that shit was announced, driving up and down the 405 or the 5 and having there be no traffic was
actually
a very scary. I felt like I was in a zombie movie because in California, in LA, these freeways are never free.
Never full. It's like I lived from, in Culver City for a few years. So okay, I know,
yeah. I lived in Culver City, when it was happening. Yeah. And on all of those streets being empty, it felt like a zombie. So yeah, I had my mask on. I didn't know if motherfuckers were about to turn into zombies around me, so to drop dead.
In fairness, that was my idea. The first day, I remember I had gotten like a little like cough. I was like, oh my God, I got the COVID. And I remember trying to find a testing station. I went with like mask and like goggles and like, honestly.
Get out of here. I was against it from day one.
Listen, it was technically within that first week. And then, of course, there I go with my little tin hat on, right? I start driving around, and I'm like, I can't find a place. I think this is a setup. This can't be real. Why can't I find anywhere to test? Yeah. And then, you know,
I will say, I don't want to accuse anybody of faking or lying about anything, but I do think it's funny that apparently every progressive that got COVID also has long COVID. And every conservative that got the vaccine seems to have myocarditis. I think it's funny how people are picking and choosing the diseases and ailments they're getting based on their political affiliation.
It seems like everything to the point that you just made about 2020, something happened in 2020 where like the smallest conversation turned into politics.
Everything. Right. everything. You could be talking to a random person at the store, like, what do you think about Leah Thomas?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. I'm like a 39-year-old child. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
I did, going into the trans stuff, we did see a clip of you, and we'll get back to these super chats in a little bit. We saw a clip of you going after Matt Walsh because Matt Walsh, we agree, whereas we're not against trans, we're not pro-trans, but we don't agree with the whole trans ideology.
We're more against the trans movement targeting children.
Gotcha.
And women and taking women's
and
spaces.
Taking women's and taking spaces. Women's spaces. It's really where it's at.
But we're not Daily Wire fans. We're not Ben Shapiro fans. We're not Matt Walsh fans. Mm-hmm. And we wholeheartedly hate the fact that they're obsessed with the trans stuff. Like
the Republican Party right now, there's a lot of it's like all trans.
It's obsessive.
Shit,
it's obsessive.
I think that has a lot to do with the DeSantis campaign,
right?
And that he's running his entire campaign on that. And when you look at the Daily Wire, they're big supporters of Ron DeSantis, and will probably end up endorsing him now that, that he's announced his run. But we think it's cringe because realistically, I see more of Dylan Mulvaney from the Daily Wire than I do from liberals. Like I wouldn't even know that Dylan Mulvaney existed if it wasn't because of the obsessive.
We had to turn off. Way, we had to mute all of the Daily Wire hosts because I would open up YouTube and it was like Brett Cooper, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, Mike, literally like it was like obsessive. Mm-hmm. But tell us your thoughts more on like the children stuff that you were arguing against Matt Walsh.
The issue that I have is when I start arguing with people, when we argue about things in society, it's a really good idea to have a general scope of the problem.
Okay.
That's really important because I think having an understanding of the scope of the problem should give you a better foundation to build your emotional response off of. So, and it's a good testing ground for a lot of people. So, for instance, if you ask like a progressive, like how many unarmed black men do you think are killed every year by the cops? Like a lot of them will give you a number like, I don't know, 1,000, 5,000. And the answer is like, it's like 17.
Right.
And let's say that I tell you, let's say that we run with that. Let's say, okay, it's 1,000. Do you think that's okay that 3 black men a day, like how many police officers are in the country? Like, oh, I don't know. It's like, what if it's 1,000 police officers? Well, that'd be pretty bad because that means that like one police officer every, what if it's 10,000? What if it's 100,000 cops, right? But if you don't know any of these numbers, right? Let's say that I tell you, I think it's about 500,000 officers. Let's say 1,000 black men are dead. And you're like, is that pretty bad? And like, yeah, that's pretty bad. Okay. What if I tell you the number is actually 100? Did that become 90% less bad for you in your feelings? Right. It's like, okay, I guess, what if I tell you it's actually like 10? And I was like, well, is it even a deal at all at that point, right? But the emotional response never fluctuates based on the reality.
The numbers,
it's based on the clips in front of you. And we're a country of 330 million people. I could do a clip of fucking anything. Mm-hmm. I could probably find videos of an Orthodox Jew guy killing an Asian woman in fucking some random city, right? But it doesn't mean there's a problem with it. I think that we consume a lot of media and it fucks our brains. And then we have like a really bad time getting a scope of the problem. So when somebody asks, when we talk about the trans stuff, when somebody asks Matt Walsh, how many kids do you think are on HRT? And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's probably millions. Okay. My son is 12 years old. That's a scary fucking number. Okay. Right. I'm a really progressive parent, but like millions of kids on HRT. I would be afraid if I heard that shit. The answer is like, I think it was like over a 5-year period, it was like 4,000 kids or something, or 5,000 kids.
Right.
Okay. Now, not to say that that's good or bad. I'm not judging if you are okay with it or not okay with it, but the scope is like, that's like
considering
four
the
orders of magnitude.
Cycle, right.
That's like 3 or 4 orders of magnitude of a difference. You just did a documentary on trans stuff. How are you off by that much? That would be like me talking to a liberal who's in favor of gun control, right? You can always ask him, you're really upset about AR-15s. How many people do you think die from rifles a year? Nobody has any idea. The answer is like 300, right? But if you think the number is like 100,000 or 200,000 or 500,000, then yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah. But that's basically.
So are you pro
socially and chemically transitioning kids as young as like 12, like your son?
I think if you want to socially transition at any age, knock yourself out. Here's the scariest thing for me right now. So I think that trans people are real, because it seems like throughout history,
what does that mean?
Some people's brains just seem to be wired for the opposite sex.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know if it happens during development or what. That seems to be the case. And it seems like there's no amount of talking them out of it. No amount of therapy will do it. So, but I think the issue that we're having is we need to spend a lot of time figuring out how to accurately identify these people, because trans stuff, we need to treat it like a medical thing and like a sexuality. It can't be like a fucking aesthetic, because what's happening is like trans and LGBT stuff have become like an aesthetic, and aesthetics are cool and young kids are going to wear them. And then you get like all these girls it's identifying like as
containing.
Yeah, sure. If you want to say that. Yeah. So now you got like all, like 20% of like girls want to be like non-binary Zers. And it's like, well, what are we even talking about now?
That's a quality take. Right. Cause it's, you know, it's very similar to what we believe, where, you know, ideally what I'd like to see is before you start transitioning children physically at such a young age, if we're going to go down that road and you're trying to truly take care of the mental health of this child, then why not prepare them for that transition when they get to an age where they're old enough to make that kind of decision for themselves? A lot of the times these children will change their mind by the time that they turn 18, 19 years old. Right?
Sure. So I wish the conversation was focused more on like, yeah, we have to figure out how to accurately identify them. It seems like conservatives want to shut it down completely. Progressives want everybody to fucking transition at 4 years old. There has to be like some middle ground where it's like, let's focus on continuing to do research, figure out if you can identify them at an early age. If you can, then put them on whatever puberty blockers you want, but it can't just be this blanket like affirming care, affirm everybody, validation for everybody, and like no critical analysis of any of the issues.
What about the surgeries?
I haven't heard a compelling reason to do surgeries before 18. I think surgery should probably wait until you're at least an adult. Yeah.
What about the adults who have detransitioned?
What about them?
What you don't think that perhaps the doctors are actually committing some sort of like crimes against humanity? Or
I mean, if you're an adult and you decide to do the surgery and you decide to undo it later, some women get implants, some women take them out, some women get BBLs and they die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that if you've got a compelling reason to do it and you're an adult and you choose to do it, it should be your right to do it. But
yeah.
Let's read just a couple of these last super chats. Mm-hmm. When is the salsa dance? Everybody's obsessed with this fucking salsa dancing thing.
Do you know how to salsa?
Absolutely fucking no.
You want to learn? That's what they want. That's what they want.
I think his wife would have taught him with her professional ballroom dancing that they would have had. Has she ever tried to teach you how to salsa dance? And you were just like, fuck that.
I'm not a dancer, like but maybe men. Someday. Yeah.
Like most men. My three favorite Latinos.
Man, on that,
Florida.
if you want to pick up girls, honest to God, so many girls want guys that can dance. If you want to learn how to dance, take a fucking dance class.
I told you this in the last week and a half? Since that came up, literally. I'm like, these people are paying money to these nerds online. And honestly, the code to crack when you're talking about how to get a new woman you want, learn how to dance, smell good at all times if you're wearing good cologne, and be funny.
Yeah, be funny.
And that's just like, that's a panty dropper right there. Like, I can't imagine that there's like a shit ton, like even women that normally go for like Bugatti driving motherfuckers are still going to put out for a guy like that.
Yeah, sure. For sure.
And if you want another cheat code, if you can stomach it, be vegan, because a lot of vegan spaces are very female. There's a lot of women there. There are not very many vegan men. So if you're good at hiding your cheeseburger pizza or whatever.
Are you a vegan?
Fuck no.
Okay.
But if I was really just for a woman, maybe I would be.
Does the same thing go for like a yoga studio, like showing up to
yoga? Oh, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Although you have to be careful when you do stuff like that, because you can't be the guy that's like creeping on everybody. Because if you're just fucking creepy, everybody's going to sniff you out and be like, get this fucking guy out of here.
You got to get your downward dog.
You don't want to show up on somebody. Yeah. You don't want to show up on TikToks getting outed as the creepy dude at the yoga place.
Biden has used executive orders more than Trump.
There's no shot that's true. I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, he signed something like, 47 executive orders like within the first 30 days or something like that? Overturning most of what Trump had done.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure if you look at the presidents through history, like especially over the last 10 presidencies, I think every president has signed way more executive orders than the last.
There was somebody that asked about Ryan Dawson.
I know of another ABBA question about the salsa dance.
Ryan Dawson?
Ryan Dawson is like the final boss of like big internet, like I'll say conspiracies is like a mean thing, but like, yeah. So like
is he a conservative?
Or no? I wouldn't say he thinks that like the Jews are heavily involved in 9/11. He probably thinks that like in Ukraine, like all the Ukrainians are killing their own people and it's not actually Russians. He thinks like in Syria, like the terrorist did the gas attacks and it wasn't Assad. Like, he's like that kind of guy.
Yeah. Is he allowed to be on YouTube? I don't
know. No, he's banned off like everything.
No, of course not. These people are not allowed to exist.
He's like ultra banned off everything. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Which I think it's something that you probably agree with, like that level of like extreme ideology. Do you think that that should exist on the internet, or do you think that there should still be a space regardless of how controversial it is?
I think that in the United States of America, we have a really radical system where one person gets one vote. A billionaire who's the most educated guy in the world has the same amount of federal voting power as a homeless guy. If we're going to entrust people with that level of responsibility, we should be able to have radical extremist thought on our platforms. I can understand not wanting to have like pornography or not wanting people to be like blatantly racist. So like videos like spamming racial slurs, but like things like anti-climate change or anti-vaxxer or Jewish conspiracy theories, I think all of that should be fair game to discuss. If you have... Yeah, because if the idea is so persuasive that everybody's going to believe it, then I mean maybe that idea deserves to win. You know, what does it say about what you believe if your thoughts are so fragile that another thought can come in and take over everybody? You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Antifa?
I don't think about Antifa. They're cringe.
Okay. That's kind of, we think that they're cringe too. Yeah. They're sure. Pretty not even we've. Yeah, we haven't really seen a lot of Antifa presence here, except for the little ones.
I support protests. If you want to go on protest, I guess about as soon as you start writing, then yeah.
That's kind of where it comes. All right. So Big Easy Clip says Destiny and Nick Fuentes has chicken and waffles on live stream.
Yeah, we did a few streams together. That was
Did you?
Oh yeah, big deal.
So there was like a time on when YouTube? You guys were kind on, of like trying Rumble? To find a common ground.
I think it's on my YouTube, yeah. No common ground. We argue a lot, but like I'll be friendly-ish with anybody that wants to like hang out and argue.
Right.
Yeah.
But the conversations are important nonetheless, right? Like even if you don't agree, I think that
I agree.
It's still important for us to be able to have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your take on, there's one last clip. It goes back to the red pill space, but it's you being based yet again.
Conservative women. I have never in my
this
life.
One. Sorry, wrong one, guys. This one. Here's the one.
A younger person that hasn't been in through as many relationships. As I hear a pedophile that wants to fuck a 9-year-old.
Turn your thing.
When I hear somebody say, I want a younger person that hasn't been in through as many relationships. As I hear a pedophile that wants to fuck a 9-year-old that has no experience in the real world. I want a girl that's young, that doesn't know any better, that has no about. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Anybody that's had real relationship experience that's saying like, oh, I prefer like 19 or 20-year-olds. Like you want somebody that you manipulate that has no experience.
But that's
somebody
not-
that's been through their 20s, knows what they like, knows what they don't like. Some can carry baggage, I guess, but that's true of every single human being, from your parents, from your schools, from your relationships to anything else. The idea that you would prefer somebody that's less experienced, that has less of an idea of what they want, is a statement made by a manipulator. Full stop.
This is such a great take because I think it's so effing creepy how they want to cap a woman's age between 19 to 24. And really what it comes down to is that it seems like these men who pride themselves in being so high value and so sought after are really crippled at the idea of even the smallest competition, comparison. They'll constantly make the comments of, we don't want older women because she's going to have experiences. And you wonder
what they say is that like the cope they have is that men grow through trauma in relationships and women basically get permanently damaged through trauma in relationships.
Is that what they say?
Yes. Yeah, they do. They say that we're permanently damaged and that we become... But then it goes back to we become harder to deal with.
Aggressive Western women that aren't submissive and trainable.
We're more argumentative. Mm. We're not submissive enough. And it goes back. And then also the argument that they make about, well, if you get into my Bugatti and I hear you say, I've been in one of these before, then I automatically know that you're a hoe because, you know, you've been in other Bugattis before.
You can't travel the world.
You can't do anything. But then again, to me, it's like, wait, you're a high value man. Why are you so intimidated? Like
that's always like, and it's hard because like, I don't like to fight on a lot of these grounds because I think it's really cringe and I'm not here to like jerk anybody off or whatever. But I know that if I'm hanging out with a woman, I know she's having a good time and I know it's a really unique time. And I would never in my life think like, oh God, has she hung out with another guy before me that was like better than me? Like what a weird thing. If you are a guy and you have something unique to offer, why would you ever fucking think that? I feel like it's a really big self-report and I feel like it's a really huge like point of insecurity. If you're so scared that like the woman has been in like a more expensive car or had another nice guy, or like, did that last guy have a bigger dick than me, or was he like taller, handsomer than me?
Even like a dick measuring contest, I might understand, but dude, like, you're really gonna get
it's
upset
like
about
so
her
much
being
insecurity.
Exposed to a car, or going on a trip, or whatnot. And I mean, there's so many shit takes, right? I used to travel for work on a regular basis.
I used to
stay home in my hotel. I used to stay in the hotel 90% of the time, unless I was out to business dinners with clients. It's like this idea where it's like, oh well, if a girl travels for work, then automatically she's a slut, whore, get her out. You know, there's like all of these like.
Well, that's because to them, travel means that another guy's flying you out somewhere to fuck you. That's what they mean. That's exclusively. If women ever travel, that's why they say women that have pictures on their Instagram in other countries are always 304s. Because if a woman is ever traveling, it's another guy's flying right the fucker.
Yeah. That's how we've heard that from
all of
Sterling
them.
And all
of them will say
all
that.
Of them. Yeah. They're like, oh, if I go on their Instagram and I see that she's been to Dubai, that she's been to Mykonos, that she's been to Ibiza, like I know a guy's
like, what
fucking
if you're paying
her.
For your own shit?
Yeah. I mean, I've literally been to all those places except Dubai on my own. I paid for it on my own.
Including
so.
Dubai.
How did you choose your wife? I know that the green card stuff, I don't care about that, but like, how did you
know that was, I mean, was it all like kind of like driven by like the politics of it? Like, would you have gotten married if that situation wasn't there? Like, you know, green card having to come over here.
I don't know if either of us are like marriage type people. So we had to do it for the green card, obviously, because otherwise we'd
So how did you meet her? You just went over.
Yeah, like, we went over to hang out. We had a lot of chemistry in person. And I was like, oh shit, we should get you an Estes so that you can come hang out with me in the US. And then she came.
But you met her on the internet first.
Was she like a streamer as well when you
No, she was just, she was literally just somebody that she saw some of my videos she liked and she sent me like a flirty message on Instagram.
Okay.
So we chatted for a little bit. And then I happened to have like a, I could pick a country to go to because I had a company that wanted to sponsor some like video equipment. I was like, okay, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll go hang out with her.
This nice girl.
So, yeah, I went to New Zealand. I hung out with her for a week. I hung out with some other friends for a week and we got along really well. And I was like, oh shit, you should come back to the US sometime. We'll keep hanging out. And then, yeah, kind
of. What do you think is one of the secrets to your compatibility? You guys seem like you guys really enjoy each other's company. You guys feel really comfortable around each other. What do you think like really stands out about your relationship? If, given the fact that it's unconventional, what do you have? What take can you give about your relationship that would still apply to maybe having a successful traditional relationship?
I like very, I guess in Ripple's piece, they call like masculine women. So women that are like really bitchy, really cunty, can like banter back and forth a lot are like, I have a very, very, very like aggressive personality type. And if you pair me with a woman that's like kind of more demure or quiet, I'm just going to steamroll them every time. It's very boring, right? So all the women that I've dated in my life have been like very aggressive type women that we can go back and forth or whatever. So she could do that really well. That was important. Chemistry to me is very important. You have to want to like hug and cuddle and sleep together and all of that. That's a really important thing. We have a lot of chemistry in that way. And she has, it's hard to explain it, but she, I consider her to be very intelligent. Not like in a, she knows like a lot of math and science, but not like in that she has like high verbal IQ, but that she has the capacity to learn and do a lot of stuff. So when I first met her, she was like living in a van in like New Zealand, like traveling around because that's what she wanted to do. Very much like off the internet person, like didn't participate. She didn't like have a YouTube channel or stream or anything like that. But today she's like on her phone, like managing like five different people, like getting her TikToks and her YouTube set up. She's like managing debate. She's like booking travel, booking photo shoots, like managing her platform. She's like learned that world really well and she's adapted to it. And now she's like growing, you know, like four different social media platforms during the same time. So she's like very smart and aggressive and learning all of that.
Yeah, you can tell she's very smart and kind of, but at the same time, like almost like not giving that off because she does come off like very demanding.
Today,
like,
I saw that on the sauce, whatever it's called, the sauce cast, she made a really good point, which is, you know, they were arguing with her about the women once again, like these women that want the high value earners, blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, no, because when you basically date people wherever you're around, so you're more likely to date somebody when you're in college or the people that you work with. And that's the argument that we've had. I'm like, every like the baddest, hottest girls when I was in college, they all ended up dating normal average guys, even though they could have had the chance to marry the guy that was 20 years older at the club and could have been flying whatever private and doing all the things that these men had. But the reality is that as a woman, you're probably set, not set up, but you probably want somebody around your age group.
Yeah, co-workers are dating and fucking each other. Students are dating and fucking each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get really upset because people will see her and they'll be like, oh, like that other guy on the show can be like, oh, you could tell because that's Destiny's wife. Yeah. And it's like, people think that she has the takes she does because she's my wife.
Right.
But the reality is I chose her to be my wife because she's that kind of person, right? Okay. I didn't like make her into that. She already kind of like had those tendencies in her, you know?
Yeah.
But
I love when she owns them because she really does such a great, like, subtle own. And then she'll smile about
they're
it.
They're like, show us your guns. And they were, like, making her do the gun. Yeah. I'm like, why are you guys doing that? So retarded. But I don't know. It's just what they do. How does, I mean, we don't really care about your dynamic. Like, we respect that. But, like, how did that conversation come about the open relationship? Like, you just.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a whore. And she enjoys like sleeping around too. And when we got together, she was like, oh yeah, like in the past I've done open relationships. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. It's like, okay, yeah, let's do that. And we've just done it from the start basically. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that it opens up like the.
Is Miami a good place for you to hold around?
Fuck no.
No?
Is it hard?
No, I didn't think so.
Because I'm like the kind of guy who, like, if you see like the alt, like nerdy girls or the scene girls or like the goth girls, that's like my crowd. Right. But if you would have sent me into a club with Miami, I'm going to strike out like 100 out of 100 times. There's no shot.
Have you tried Wynwood? That's more of like, I think your vibe.
Have you ever been to Astra before? It's like that rooftop. Yes, I've been to that area. Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I haven't. I've never tried Tinder in Miami. I did in L.A. and I had like decent luck there. Maybe in Miami I'll try, but like I've hopped on like once or twice, but it's like all like swimsuit, like Colombia and Brazilian girls. Right. Like, I'm like, these people are looking for.
Did you ever get a chance to go to Churchill's before they shut down?
Go to where?
Churchill's pub in Wynwood.
No, I didn't.
That was like one of like the oldest golf clubs here in Miami, and they actually had been open for decades, and they actually just shut it down last year. I want to say the Churchill's on, but it was a really cool spot. You would have enjoyed that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Your kind of people, you would like that.
My people. Okay, gotcha.
Well, you know, you just said that you like golf girls.
Yeah. Not necessarily. I'm just like all kind of like nerd. Like, I don't want to say students. That sounds weird. But like normal people.
Yeah, Wynwood would probably
like Miami, like South Beach, and like these are not normal people. These are like hyper club girls and shit. And they're I don't think they.
Yeah, that's like the standard. That's part of the reason why we make the argument so often, because they're like, oh, you know, if you see girls at the clubs and they're at the clubs all the time, then they're just whores and they're done and they're gonna be washed up and done up by the time that they're 30. And it's like, it's not even fucking realistic. Like, girls here in Miami start going to clubs when they're 15. They're over it by the time they're 23.
The funny thing is, a lot of these guys getting exposed on Twitter, because these guys will be like posting pictures like, check out these like 22-year-old babes that I picked up on like the boat. One guy did it, and I think one of the girls is tweeting like, we're both like 32, and this guy
saw it. She was like, they didn't even know that we were like over 30.
They paid us to show up on the boat. We're like 32, 34 years old.
The majority of the time, they can't even fucking tell that these girls are fucking.
They
don't,
and they pay for most of these girls anyway. Or they're like, do you want to come ride on my boat? And it's like, that I rented. It's like, okay, dude.
That was another iconic moment that I didn't put on here. When you told Sneagle that he was one of the bold boys to take pictures on the internet.
What about when you have a child?
With
Melina.
I mean, like, things
will
be...
have a child with Melina?
I think we want to, yeah. Things will be realistic, right? Mm. Like, if she's like 8 months pregnant, I'm probably not going to go out and like fuck a girl or something, because there's probably going to be a lot of shit going on. And if we have a new kid, we probably don't have time to like do crazy shit, right? Mm. I imagine for a couple of years, we're probably going to be pretty chill and things. But the same as like a monogamous couple would be, right? Like, you're probably not going out as much or hanging out with friends as much in like the first like few months of like a kid being born and everything. So I imagine things.
You guys were talking about the dynamics of this a little bit on whatever, and it seemed like the idea that people have, like that they have like people over at their house all the time, and they're just like out there like fucking everyone and everything. And
yeah,
like
people sometimes will show up on my channel and be like, is Melina fucking someone in the other room right now? I was like, I hope not. Jesus, what the fuck? No. Yeah.
It seems like the reality is a lot more toned down.
By anybody else?
No, we're not. We're not very jealous people. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. For whatever reason. I'm lucky there, I guess.
Do you think it's just because you support, like, if you know that somebody's truly into you and you show each other a lot of affection, then there's not a lot of room to be jealous, right? I'm sure that if one of you kind of like fell short on
I think the issue too is that like I can autistically dig into my work. Like, if I had like 36 hours in the day, I could work for all 36 hours. And you know, if it came down to like when it was like, listen, I'm gonna leave you, I'd be like, okay, well, that sucks, but it's more time for me to work, I guess. Work.
Right.
But no, I mean, like, we love each other a lot, we get along a lot. Like, I don't think I'm sure that if it got to a point to where Melina was like, hey, like, I don't want to travel with you anymore, I've got another guy I want to go hang out with, or like, I don't want to see you anymore, I'm not going to sleep here anymore, I'd probably get upset. But I mean, like, assuming we're still...
They made a really good point on the What Our podcast, where Melina basically says, like, we're not... that you guys not being married by paper made it more so that you're together because you want to be together, as opposed to somebody who's maybe feels like they have to be there because now the court systems have like brought them together.
Yeah, maybe. I get this is, again, it goes back to like the bastardization of like the religious stuff. Like, people will say, personally, I don't care about marriage, right? Because I'm an atheist. It's not something I care about. We needed to get married for the green card. Some people care about marriage a lot because of they think they need to get married, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you want to get married, that's fine. But from a religious perspective, I see marriage, even if we remove the religious part from it, marriage is basically two people making a statement to the world saying that, like, we intend to be together forever. And this is, like, really special because it's a unique union, both in partnership and in companionship. And we want to bring, like, our friends and family together to celebrate, like, this first day that represents the union of us for the rest of our lives. Like, that should be what marriage is. If it's, like, if you feel strongly about it. But a lot of people have, the manuscript takes on marriage and everything are very strange.
So you're an atheist?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Are there any traditional values that you adopt in your relationship or in your life?
Traditional? I mean, in some ways. Like, I believe, like, you should be a virtuous person. You should try to be honest, treat people well. aspire to the beliefs that you have, like be cognizant of the impacts you have on other people, you know, don't lie, cheat, steal, stuff like that. Yeah. I mean,
do you think that's something innate that each person is born with that kind of like barometer of what?
I think we have really strong intuitions for it. Yeah. I think most people do.
Without needing the religious doctrine there to kind of guide you.
Generally, yeah. But the religious doctrine like wraps it all up in a very neat, nice package and makes it very easy to kind of like follow through on, I think.
So how did you go from being a Catholic raised boy to being an atheist? How did that happen?
I think just as I turned 15, 16, I went through that questioning period of my life and I kind of drifted away from it essentially. Yeah.
And just you don't believe in God at all.
No.
Have you tried psilocybin mushrooms?
For a lot, yeah.
A lot. And you've never had any like spiritual experience.
I definitely have experiences, but my guess is gonna be is if you've got like a not a predilection. If you've got a preference, if you've got a predisposition, I keep forgetting this word. If you have a predisposition towards like spiritual things, if you do like a lot of mushrooms, you'll probably see God. But if you're very atheist, you probably see things in other ways. Like I just saw like my personality melt away and like colors crazy and shit like that. Yeah.
Because there's been actually a lot of people and even in my following, that said like, I tried, you know, specifically psilocybin mushrooms and I became like closer to God. Like sure. I started believing in God. There's been people like that before. That's why I asked. Mm-hmm. I figured you probably tried them before.
Yeah. So I could totally see, because depending on how much you take, you can have really extreme experiences that are kind of, you can't really explain them because it fucks with your mind so much. Yeah. So yeah, I could say that.
We're asking more about politics. So one of the last things we'll ask you is why don't you like Trump, or what is it about Trump that people like you hate or don't? Cause like we obviously defy the so-called logic, like I'm an immigrant Latina. Mm-hmm. She's Cuban American. So
I changed the question a little bit. Is there anything that you can pinpoint to Trump that you do like, that you thought like this was something that he did right?
It was funny.
But in terms of like policy or anything like that?
I guess I don't think the tax cuts were good, but I liked them because I saved a lot of money.
Okay.
I think my biggest problem with Trump, honestly, is probably decorum. The way that he carries himself. Okay. I do think that like he is supposed to be your leader. He's supposed to be your head of state. I really don't like the demonization of political opponents. I feel like he was very big on accelerating that divisive move where we were moving the left and right away from each other. That I was really disappointed because there were a few times, very brief flashes during the primaries where he appeared to be pretty statesmanlike. There were a couple primaries that he lost to like Cruz or Rubio when he came on stage and he's like, I want to congratulate them. They ran a really good campaign today. I was kind of hoping that Trump would be like the UFC fighters who talk a ton of shit and they're in front of each other in the microphones. But then after they fight, they hug each other, they shake hands. It's like you fought well and then they parted. But once Trump got into office, I don't think he did that. I think he kept attacking people pretty hard.
When he kept those peace, then he did really good with like foreign policy. I mean,
I would disagree, but that's a whole other.
Why? That would have to be the next podcast.
But why do you disagree with that? I mean, look at
quickly. I think the relationships that he had with other people around the world. So like the Australian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, the Mexican President, Angela Merkel didn't like us. I think that the
Mexican President likes him. The new one. He even talks about it still.
The new one. Oh, the new one might, but I think the old one hated him. I'm pretty sure, right?
He ended up giving in. And
AMLO really likes him.
He started at the beginning. There was like a lot of like heavy opposition, like in the media or whatnot, and then they ended up.
Well, because he was on the big on that like Mexico's going to build the wall and blah blah. And then there was like the thing with the judge who had like Mexican parents that Trump was
right. And that was kind of where it started. But then afterwards, the Mexican president actually did offer support on the side of the border, of the Mexican border for Trump.
And he got the National Guard, the Mexican National Guard.
He actually was, he wouldn't even recognize Joe Biden on president until January.
He was one of the last people to congratulate
Joe Biden as president and just kind of like put that in doubt.
Getting rid of the Iranian nuclear deal, I would say was a bad idea. Visiting North Korea and not getting concessions out of them was a bad idea. The general lack of support for NATO and the undermining of its mission, I thought was kind of a bad idea. The refusal to pull us out of Afghanistan, I thought was a bad idea.
That's a list of topics for the next podcast. We're going to have to.
Abandoning the Kurds in Syria, that was a bad idea. But there's a lot of, But I thought moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the embassy, I thought was a bad idea.
That was a bad idea too.
Yeah. We probably disagree on almost all of these things. So
I mean, not all of them. Some of them we might agree on. There's going to be some overlapping when it comes. Destiny, thanks so much for making the time. We know that there was like a tsunami outside and a giant storm.
That's all good.
And we were like convinced. I'm like, did you double check with Destiny? Because if it was,
he like answered like at 4 a.m., right?
I would have written back and I would have been like, I got to do something. Because this rain is horrible.
You're good. I've just been doing so much for the past few days.
We really appreciate you making the time to come out and talk to us, and hopefully we can have you on the show again.
How often, just so some of our followers know, how often do you stream? Every day at all times?
I mean, I should be streaming every day from 12 to 10, but realistically, I usually start around 2 or 3. And I'm also traveling a lot doing shows and stuff. So, like, tomorrow I fly to Wales to do some festival with Zizek or whatever. And,
okay.
And then I'll be back. I think I might be in LA on like the 28th in a few days. So, but yeah.
Are you going to London to see Pearl?
No.
And the last thing is that, did you dye your hair to troll the conservatives?
Well, initially I dyed it for charity because my audience raised a bunch of money and then for me to dye my hair for like children in a hospital or whatever. Uh-huh. But I think I might re-dye now because it triggers the fuck out of people so much. And it's kind of funny to,
We think it's the biggest own. And it was hilarious. That's not the reason. And I hope it's the reason you keep it because it's such a fucking own. You're able to articulate your arguments so well. And we thought that it was so important. A lot of the times when we have these conversations with people on the other side of the political aisle, it tends to get very emotional.
Sure.
And, it loses all logic and you can't just have a conversation where it's like, dude, it's like, it's okay. We disagree. Like, just tell me why it is that you think the way that you do. I'll tell you why it is. And we can move on with our lives without thinking we're horrible people for having opposing opinions. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for taking the time. And thank you to all of your followers that are on our chat.
The Destiny cult.
Yeah.
They're great. We mentioned you in our last podcast and we were talking about what a great debater you were and how we would love to debate you. And your followers found this immediately. And
yeah, literally.
Right. Immediately. He'll come on the show and then here you are. So thank you so much for doing that. To the rest of you guys. Oh, Destiny, where can they find you?
YouTube.com/Destiny, Instagram.com/Destiny. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. To the rest of you guys, please don't forget to check out our sponsor, Sentry H2O, underwater filtration system, and use code MPL10. We will be back on tomorrow where we are going to have a panel of real life Miami women.
Single moms,
post-war, prime ages. We're going to have real women just kind of giving commentary on this red spill space and whether or not they identify with the version or the definition of women that's being provided by these circles. So if you haven't liked, like. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. And we will see you guys again tomorrow.
Bye.